last time on the John and Mike Show.
I have the perfect solution. Hello?
No. Goodbye.
God. Damn.
Couldn't figure.
You know, we do that in tandem.
I know. God.
Damn.
I say that a lot. You know that? I say that a lot naturally on this show. I think it's going to have new meaning now.
God. Damn. We can't help it. We do everything together.
That could be a wonderful new trademark.
I think so.
God damn.
The John and Mike Show. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Meara Show. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Meara Show.
It's Paris Day.
Hi. Welcome to our show.
Mr. Son of a Beach.
Hello, everybody. You got the Don and Mike Show. Coming to you live. 4 hours every weekday. From the studios of WJFK, Washington, D.C. Broadcasting nationwide and coast to coast. You can call Don and Mike anytime for free at 877-365-3636.
Oh, that's
but
right.
But turn your radio down.
What?
No, who would you do call?
What?
Don't call to play the name game.
Oh, really?
No calls to rape women.
What?
Don't ask when they're coming to your
what?
Town.
Oh, really?
And don't call telling jokes.
What?
And Mike anytime, toll free at 1-877-365-3636. That's 1-877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
It's Veterans Day.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
It's the Don and Mike Show, and they'll say what they wish.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Well, it is Veterans Day, and I want to tell you, he was there for all of them.
That's right.
Serving alongside Buzz. The War of 1812. The Civil War. WW1, WW2. The Korean Conflict. Vietnam. Grenada.
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, Sergeant Phil Hochberg.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Rob Spiewak. Take it away, Rob.
Rob Spiewak.
And despite the service to our country, Phil still has time to practice his new hobby.
What's Phil's new hobby?
Well, surgery. He recently replaced Pat Summerall's knee and his stomach.
There you go.
Exciting day for him. Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. $8 Apple and all the ships at sea. Hey, you'll love them this Sunday on Disney's remake of The Miracle Worker. It's Don Geronimo and Mike O'Meara.
Yeah.
Wow.
Geronimo is Helen Keller.
Wow.
Nobody does it better. You did a great job, and I'm glad they remade it around you.
Hello, and thank you for listening, everybody. New episode coming at you. Don and Mike Show, a nationwide radio show. That's right. National syndication, too.
Yes.
57 radio markets. Via Westwood One. Current stock price, $14.75 a share. Don't laugh. They keep us on the air every day, and our telephone number is the same as it ever was.
Same as it ever was.
Oh. Thank you, Timmy. 877-365-3636. That's your hotline to the hip. 877-365-3636. It's Friday. November 10th, and what can I say, bud?
Welcome to my world.
Oh, welcome to our world.
Welcome to our world.
Won't you come on in?
Filled with the goodies that only Ruby Tuesdays can bring.
Miracles.
And some fine cuisine and some great company.
Still happen now and then.
Good food. Good friends.
Step into my heart.
Ah, yes, he stepped into my heart today.
Yeah, Mike went to lunch with Tom.
Leave your cares behind.
Mike Hart Tom, if you're making some bumper stickers.
And of course, it's yours today.
Build with you in mind.
Build with you in mind.
Tighter than a nut.
There you go.
Filled with
you in mind.
Yes, Mike has paid off the presidential bet.
Mm-hmm.
The lunch is over.
I'm exhausted.
We have the tape. We will hear the tape momentarily.
Good.
Let me tell you that today's show is absolutely freaking jam-packed.
Yeah.
We're going to start off by asking everybody to get out a piece of paper and a pencil.
All right, very good.
Because it's story time.
Excellent.
We're going to do one of these guaranteed to get people listening to the whole show contest.
Wonderful.
We're going to write a story now. And this is an excellent opportunity for those of you who are listening to the show now to win a trip
right now
to Tampa Bay for WWF Survivor Series. Everybody loves the wrestling, and this is a big one. Tampa Bay is a beautiful town. Great place to go. You go down there and see the WWF Superstar Wrestlers in the Survivor Series, courtesy of Comcast Cable and Cox Cable. Now, the only way to win this trip is to write down all the words to the story that we're going to be giving you throughout the show today. And at various times, we'll just stop the show and we'll say, let's get some more, some more words for the song. And here is your opening sentence. Mike's lunch with Tom Gavin went well until dot, dot, dot. Okay, that's the opening line. Mike's lunch with Tom Gavin went well until dot, 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 eat my Luger.
All right.
So that's the opening line of the story. Now, every once in a while during the show, in the middle of conversation, we're just going to stop down and give three more words to fill out the story. Then at the end of the show, you call in, you have the story in it. It's entirety, and you'll win the trip to Tampa.
Very good.
Let's start.
Are we going to start with a few words?
Yes, we're going to start with three words, and we will start with Buzz for our first word of the story.
The first word, I think, should be Mike.
And I'll do the second word.
Mm-hmm.
Smelled.
Uh-oh.
And we'll go to Mike for the third word.
Something.
Okay? So if you're listening right now, congratulations. Thank you. We appreciate it. Listen to the whole show today. We'll continue to fill out this story. You call when we're done writing it. We'll say call in.
Very good.
You prove to us you've listened to the whole show by having the story written completely, and you'll win the trip to Tampa Bay. Again, the opening line of the story is, Mike's lunch with Tom Gavin went well until Mike smelled something.
That's right.
And we'll continue to write that story as the show continues today.
That's a great start. I'm looking forward to it.
Now, before we get to the tape of you and Tom having lunch, and I want to devote an entire segment to that since I think we have the whole half-hour lunch on tape.
Yeah, I stopped tape twice during the lunch, but only for less than 30 seconds.
Wow. And Rob tells me it's definitely worth listening to every single second of.
Oh, let's not go crazy.
No, come on, Robbie.
Mike, it's great.
All right.
It's good.
Okay, all right. I was saying to Rob that it, I think the awkward silence you'll enjoy, I suppose. So that's the part that I didn't find. Because, really, when I was listening to it, I was reliving it.
Before we get to that, and we'll listen to the tape in its entirety, want to tell you the format for the other contest we got going. That's the have Thanksgiving dinner a couple of days early with Mr. 40 and Shiloh doing a live sex show right in the middle of the conference room table while you're eating your turkey and your cranberry and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We'd like an entire real family to join us in the conference room for this very special Thanksgiving Day treat. Actually, it's 2 days before Thanksgiving. It's Tuesday the 21st.
It's our way of saying thank you to you, the radio listeners.
So what you do is, if you've got a family, and the biggest family, obviously, would have the best chance of winning. We're talking about the most number of people.
Right.
We can cater this for up to 50 people.
Wow.
Up to 50 people.
I'd like to vote for married cousins.
So, whatever. You got your grandma, you got your grandpa, you got the aunts, you got the uncles. Bring them on, but you have to send us a letter. More importantly, fax us a letter telling us why your family should have the early Thanksgiving dinner with Mr. 40 and Shiloh.
And, of course, this is for only adult family members,
right,
because children under 21, actually, are not
right
invited.
Because there'll be alcohol served, and there's going to be a live sex show done right on the Thanksgiving table. This is all going to happen during our show, the Tuesday before Thanksgiving.
Good.
Upstairs on the third floor in the conference room. So fax your entry in to this number, 1-800-636-6410.
Send us a fax, and we'll read the letters, and we'll determine who the winner is.
Okay, I know we're laying a lot of stuff on you here in the beginning, but we got the trip to Tampa to give away today. We got to do the story time thing, and we've also got to get that fax number out so you can fax in your letter, tell us who can come with you, why you think your family should win, and as soon as we get a letter that we love, boom, the contest is over.
Excellent.
So the faster you fax, the better your chances of winning. 800-636-6410. That is our toll-free fax number. On the home front, I caved. I absolutely caved. Bart's getting a limo for homecoming tomorrow night.
Oh, you finally caved in.
I caved in. He's paying for it himself. He and
that's not really caving in. He's paying for it with his own money.
He and his friends are going in on this together. You know, he had the job over the summer where he worked up at Secrets, and he earned a little money.
Right.
And we talked to the limo company, and we got all the stuff ironed out. Like, of course, there's no booze, and they can't put up the privacy window, and the kids can't open the sky roof and hang out on the sky roof.
Good. Well, you know, hopefully the driver, I don't know, drivers don't pay attention.
Yeah, of course they don't.
You do anything in the back of a limo.
But we caved, right. We decided to give in. I mean, he is a good kid, and of course it goes without saying, I love him more than anything, and I trust him, and he's going to get the limo tomorrow night.
So will your car be following the limo that evening, sneaking around the corner?
I will not. I am going to put my trust in my kid.
It'll save you some mileage on your vehicle.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because, of course, the girl that he's taking to homecoming, you know, is another one of these girls that lives in Darnestown.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she lives like 70 miles away from here.
It's not the same one? It's another girl from way up there?
It's another girl.
My God.
It's the second year in a row that he's gotten a girl to go to dance with him who lives 3 counties away.
It's amazing.
So anyway, we caved on that.
So that's this weekend?
That's tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night, the big homecoming
dance. I'll let you know what happens there.
Yeah.
From today's Washington Post, we have a big old-fashioned FU going out to that turd, Bob Levy.
Ah, Bob Levy's Washington. Bob Levy, another in the... It seems like they grow him. They raise him over there at the Washington Post. Those wean columnists.
I know that we've railed on this guy before. He's worthless. That basically, people write him letters and they complain about stuff and he prints them in the Washington Post, like, how come people are allowed to bring Starbucks coffee on the subway?
Right.
And how come when I go to the Springfield Mall, how come I can't park my car outside Hex for 5 minutes if I'm leaving my emergency blinkers on?
They ought to rename the column Bob Levy's Boring Life.
Okay, but he's just an absolute pig, and he mentions us in his column today, and here's the context in which we're mentioned, okay? He's writing about radio ratings.
Uh-huh.
Okay, now let me say for the record that besides the fact that Bob Levy writes this worthless column in the Washington Post,
he is not an objective source when it comes to talking about radio because he, too, fancies himself a DJ.
Yeah, he has had a couple of canceled radio shows already.
They've all failed.
Yeah, he's tried it on WRC. He tried it on WMAL.
I think now he does, like, fill-in work for people.
Yeah, right. So the guy obviously has at least some working knowledge of the radio business. He's not succeeded at it,
right,
but he has working knowledge of it. And anybody who's worked in the radio business, even a schmuck like Bob Levy, understands how the ratings are delivered.
Right.
How the Arbitron rating company delivers the ratings. We can't talk about the process on the radio because it's illegal, it breaks the rules. Oh, and you know, the monthly ratings came out today for NEW, and they called with the news that our show has finally cracked the top 10.
in New York.
That is wonderful news.
Great.
You know, I should point out to everybody around the country, when we're talking about these moves, which might sound small in New York, any move in New York in that direction, especially cracking the top 10, is overwhelmingly significant due to the number of people that are listening to the radio.
Yeah, so thank you to everybody who continues to support our show every night on WNEW. And those ratings that were phoned to me today, they're Arbitron ratings made by the company that's the equivalent of the Nielsen Ratings Company.
Very good.
Okay? I say this because the Arbitron company is a company that's known in the radio business. It's known by members of the media, and it certainly is known by Bob Levy.
Right.
Here's what Bob Levy writes in his column today. If you have your doubts about the way in which radio ratings are compiled, and I have many, consider the conversation that Peter Wolf had the other day. His phone rang at 8:20 p.m. on November 2nd. On the other end was a marginally literate fellow who said he was taking a radio listening poll. What radio station have you listened to the most over the last 7 days? WETA, Peter replied. What channel is that? The goon asked. Peter saved himself the trouble of not pointing out that TV stations are channels and radio stations are not. He replied, now listen, I'm not going to bore you with the text of this, but basically what I've discerned from this is that this is a radio station in town doing some kind of in-house music test.
Well, it couldn't be anybody else because the ratings that we get don't work that way.
Right, and anybody...
We can say that, and it's perfectly legal.
Yeah, and anybody who works in radio, even has a tertiary knowledge of radio...
Oh, he knows that.
...knows...
He's a liar.
...that they don't have some schmuck calling people at 8:20 at night.
Right. He's either a total and complete idiot, or he's a liar if he thinks that's the way ratings are got.
So the guy, whoever's giving him the story, says that he says to the goon on the telephone, you don't know what WETA is? Why, that's the leading public radio outlet in the country.
And, of course, that's the station that they use.
And then the guy on the telephone that says, what's public radio? Then he hung up.
Oh, God.
Now, here's what Bob Levy writes about this. Do I even need to point out that you get what you pay for? When polling companies pay cold callers $6 an hour, they don't train them, they don't give them the full list of radio stations, their credibility is lower than the numbers on the left side of your radio dial. The shame of it is that Peter's vote for WETA will not be recorded. This not only depresses WETA's true market share, it falsely inflates the shares of other stations.
Oh, my God.
That, in turn, makes the Don and Mikes of the dial think they have the world on a string.
That's crap.
Okay.
Oh, my God. How can he lie? He's either an idiot or a complete and total liar.
Okay. Yeah. Bob Levy, you worthless piece of crap. Listen to me. We do have the world on a string. Our ratings are not conducted by some schmuck goon mook who calls people at 8:20 at night.
Yeah, Bob Levy, nobody's ratings are conducted that way. That's not the way it works.
Right.
We can't explain the way it works, but it does not involve a telephone.
But Bob Levy knows that that's not how radio ratings are discerned.
So you, Mr. and Mrs. Paper Reader, Bob Levy is lying to you.
Yeah, and listen, Bob Levy, the Don and Mikes of the radio dial, which is us, Don and Mike, the guy he's talking about, we do have the world on a string because the ratings that come out by the multi-million dollar company, Arbitron, they have said that our show is number one rated.
What is that? What the hell is that?
I don't know.
That is like a concerted effort to distort what reality for people reading his column and make it sound that ratings are gotten by telephone surveys, which is a lie. It's a ball fest.
No.
He's worked in radio. He knows that.
Of course he does. And radio stations, they're generally stations that play records. They do hire...
We ought to call the editor and find out, is Bob Levy either lying or is he so stupid that he doesn't know how the rating service works?
They do hire, radio stations do hire stupid interns.
All the time they do that.
These calls are mainly made at night.
That can be done by, that can be done from, music companies. That can be done from radio stations, from,
where they call and they ask, what's the station you've listened to the most in the last 7 days?
Ad agencies do that. That's done all the time. There are millions of people that do surveys.
Would you mind listening to some samples of records? Because that's how they discern what they're going to play on the radio. But that's not.
It's really horrible that he's doing
this.
Unbelievable.
That's that's not real radio ratings. That's not the Arbitron company.
We have one company. We all have to play by their rules.
Yeah.
That's the way it works. Every radio station that's that gets rated does it that way, and it's a system which we can't, you know, it's unfortunate we can't explain how it works because that's illegal, but let me tell you right now that it is not done by a telephone survey, and to tell your readers that is the worst kind of misinformation.
The shame of it is that Peter's vote for WETA, which incidentally is like all public radio, piece of crap out of my bung. Nobody bothers to listen to it. The shame of it is that Peter's vote for WETA won't be recorded.
His friend Peter.
That not only depresses WETA's true market share.
No, it doesn't.
It falsely inflates the shares of other stations.
Unbelievable.
That in turn makes the Don and Mikes of the Dial think they have the world on a string.
I am absolutely astonished.
Listen,
that
you
got through.
What, do they have any editors over there at all?
No.
Listen to me, you freak, bad hair piece, Dave Barry wannabe. Kiss my ass, Bob Levy.
I mean, and get it, you know, it's getting to the point now where they are just unchecked over there.
Right.
I'd like to know if they have any. I'd really love to call them. I would love to call them and get somebody on the air to explain to us why a column like this goes to press with nobody checking this idiot to see if, A, because there are only two options here. He's either lying through his teeth or he's so completely out of it that he has no idea how the ratings work. But
I would
find the latter very difficult.
I would give him the benefit of the doubt and say he's out of it, except the guy has worked in radio for over 10 years.
Yeah, that's odd.
How can he get away? God. I mean, if somebody's going to take a run at us, if somebody's going to slam us...
Just write that you don't like our show.
Right. The editors will just give you carte blanche. You want to say something about Don and Mike? Man, facts do not matter. What a prick.
So if you read Bob Levy's Washington, his well-read column today in the Post, you'd say, gee... Well, maybe that's when I hear Don and Mike talking all the time about how they're number one. Maybe it's because they just have these uneducated goons calling people at 8:20 at night and asking them what station they listen to. Well, that's
a huge... Arbitron is a huge company that has been around for... I'm not sure how long they've been around, but they've been around but at least 20 years.
30 years, something like that. They're the only company...
And everybody uses them.
...that gives radio ratings.
I mean, we all use them, we all live by them, we all die by them. That's the way it works.
They're the Nielsen of radio. You know, you hear Nielsen ratings for TV. Arbitron is the standard... for radio, and while we have problems with Arbitron and their methodology and the way that they do things, they don't do things like this. And this guy Bob Levy knows that he's misrepresenting the facts. But beyond that, listen, you piece of crap, we do have the world on a string, and that bothers you, Bob Levy, because we don't walk around with our heads up our asses, pretending that we're better than everybody else.
Are you so insecure, Mr. Levy, that you have to write a column that completely misrepresents a factual rating survey, that completely distorts the way the ratings are garnered for every radio station, not just in Washington, D.C., but in the United States of America, you moron?
We do have the world on a string.
And I mean, the more I think about it, this guy has been on radio at so many different stations for so long, he has got to understand.
Yeah.
Well, this is much more malicious than just a guy being stupid.
Of course it is.
This is a guy deliberately trying to make it sound like ratings are derived a way that they're not. That is so low. That's lower than anything Ahern's has ever done.
He's just another guy who gets pissed off that probably everywhere he goes, when he talks to anybody about radio, if he says to someone, "Hi, I'm Bob Levy. Maybe you've read my column in the Post, or maybe you've heard my work on WMAL," someone will say to him, "No, but you know who I do listen to? I listen to Don and Mike.
Man,
I listen to that show every day, and it absolutely freaking kills him."
Now, you know, I'm just beginning to think right here. If he is aware that we have inflated ratings and we have the world on a string, that the only way he could find that out is if he knew the ratings and read at least Ahern's column.
Yeah.
Or, you know, and that's the way Arbitron, and he'd hear Arbitron, and he'd know, but he can't be that stupid. I'd love to get to the bottom of this.
This is calculated.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, Bob, why don't you take that toupee off, scratch that head for a second, and really think about where this is coming from. Think about it, Bob. Why don't you think about it while you're thinking about sending kids to camp? That's the other big scam with this guy's column.
Right.
For like 2 months every year in the summertime, Bob Levy gets off the duty of writing a column, of thinking of something to write up, because all he does is write about how he's begging for money so that needy kids can go to camp. And I think it's funny every year that every year less and less money is raised.
I'd like to know, they must have somebody over there. They must have a few people over there that, hey, if it's going to be something slamming us, then just write anything you want.
Listen, the
facts are unimportant. Facts have never been important at that newspaper.
The point is, our show is number one rated. We have been number one rated for 15 years.
And those number one ratings have never had anything to do with phone surveys.
No, absolutely not. And if it sounds like we have the world on a string, well, Bob, maybe it's because we do. And maybe it's because we work our asses off at it, and our audience blissfully tells the real ratings company that they listen to us every day.
It's amazing.
That's how it works.
Mm-hmm.
This radio beats public radio every day of the week, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day.
You know what?
That's a big part of it, I think, really, is that Bob Levy is another one of these guys that is repulsed by the fact that something that he considers to be Jerry Springer-ish
right.
is beating, you know, All Things Considered and right. Morning Edition and Diane Rehm and all that boring crap they have on National Public Radio.
You know, the little boys club, girls club, inside the Beltway, invited to all the right cocktail parties, kiss everybody's ass. Everybody goes around kissing everybody else's ass around there, and it's ridiculous. Ridiculous. And they hate the fact that the vast majority of people like this show. They can't stand it because it doesn't fit into their perfect little box.
That in turn makes the Dons and Mikes of the Dial think they have the world on a string.
Man. So let me get this right. He believes that there's an intern out there calling people, asking them what radio station they listen to,
and then
reporting back to us and telling us how good we are.
Right. Now, he knows that there's a real ratings company. Hey, Rob, why don't you call the Post right now and see if you can get Bob Levy.
Good. Yeah, ask him what the hell he's trying to say. What is he trying to do?
I'm sure he would not have the balls to go on the air with us. But, you know, Ahearns almost did that time. And as much as I hate Frank Ahearns, and there's no doubt he's got a chip on his shoulder.
No, I don't think Frank Ahearns has ever done anything remotely close to
that. At least Frank Ahearns prints the facts when he has to. He prints the Arbitron ratings in the newspaper when they come out every 3 months.
I'm astonished by this. I'm astonished by this. I really can't believe it.
What
and there are only two options here, and I want, you know, I will give each option equal weight because I'm not inside of Bob Levy's head, and I don't know what he's thinking.
But there's plenty of room in there.
There's room in there, and there are only two options here, ladies and gentlemen. He is either lying because he knows exactly how the ratings are derived, or he's such an idiot that he has no idea how the business of rating radio stations works in this market and all over the country.
And either way, he needs to be educated.
Absolutely.
Either he needs to be told, listen, you know how the ratings work. You know they're legitimate. You know that there are the fail-safe fallback systems, that the ratings are the ratings, and they're real and they're valid. Or you should be told, listen, dumbass, we're not here just making this stuff up every day about our ratings.
Yeah, you know he has editors. I mean, I can't believe that got through. That nobody said, incidentally, Bob, they don't get the ratings by having interns make phone calls.
But because Bob is involved in the radio business.
Look where they put the column, though. I mean, okay, right next to the
funny pages. Well, it is a good placement, right next to Kathy.
Right.
Right next to the Boondocks. Right next to Wizard of Id.
But the comics have more ethics than Bob does.
I believe so. I think we'll have to determine that. It's either stupidity or bad ethics.
No. He knows. He knows how the ratings are gathered. He has to.
I would be amazed if he didn't.
Yeah, me too.
But you know something? If you're gonna punch your way out of this situation, that's what you say. You plead ignorance.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a yeah, all right, so he's stupid.
Did you talk to him?
I left him a voicemail. He just has his voicemail there. I didn't think he'd be there. It's not like he worked.
Yeah, we ought to talk to an editor. We ought to see if we can get an editor to come on the air.
An editor from the Post would not come on the air with us.
I don't think so.
Mm. So anyway, that's it. I wiped my ass with this column, Bob Levy. What do you think of that? Please. You bald freak.
Unbelievable.
Jesus Christ.
That irritates me more than anything I think I've ever heard in that paper.
Yeah.
Just a guy that says, this is, you know, anybody reading that, and the vast majority of people have no idea how the ratings work.
Right, they would think, really.
That's how they're people that make phone calls.
That this BS public radio that he loves, and incidentally, He writes the call letters of the public radio station in here about 15 times.
Okay.
We don't even get the honor of having our call letters there. It's just our name.
Yeah, well, we don't need the call letters.
Right. The Dons...
True. We really don't.
The Dons and Mikes of the Dial think they have the world on a string. I got the world on a string, and it's attached to your scrot, Bob. So let me just drag you around the room a little bit.
Unbelievable.
Worthless piece of garbage.
Yeah, that paper never fails to amaze me.
It's astounding.
You know, I really wish we had one of those good old tabloid style papers.
And you know,
there is so much room for a great paper like that in this town.
I'm going to get off this topic, but I just want to reread you the first paragraph of this column. If you have your doubts about the way in which radio ratings are compiled, and I have many, consider the conversation that Peter Wolf had the other day.
Unbelievable.
Okay.
So he starts out. Sets the table for a column that will mislead everyone that reads it.
Right. There are no doubts about the way that radio ratings.
Everybody, you know, here's the deal.
Compiled.
And I hope everybody understands this. We all play by the same rules. We have to. There is no other. There is one. Arbitron. That's what we deal with. Everybody. WETA, WJFK. Everybody deals with the same rules.
And he knows, because he's worked in radio, he knows that stations have their own research departments and that stations do hire interns that make $5 an hour.
I've gotten calls like that at my house, and they are idiots that make those calls, by and large.
Yeah, frankly, when they call me, and I got called recently for I'm pretty sure it was Q107.
Right.
For a music,
I did too. That was the same one that called me recently.
For a music test where they asked how old I was, and I said, I'm 42. Would you mind listening to some songs? And they play you 15 seconds of a song down the telephone. For every song that I knew they wanted to test high,
right,
I gave it a bad grade too.
Right.
But like for the Metallica and the stuff like that they don't play,
right,
I gave that the highest rating.
Good. Mess up their survey.
I got the same call, and they said, is the lady of the house home? And I knew right away what it was. I said, yes, speaking. They said, no, you don't understand. We're looking for the lady of the house. And then I answered every question. Yes, I'm the lady of the house. I'm 110. And it's fun to screw with.
Yeah, absolutely. Have fun with it.
So anyway, Bob Levy, kiss my ass.
Amen.
And if you want equal time on a radio show that is number one rated by an accredited company, come on anytime, Bob.
Right.
Come on anytime.
We will give you all the time you require.
You worthless Dave Barry, Bob Green wannabe.
Please. Only a guy like that. That's the only paper in the country that would allow a guy like that to get away with that crap.
I hope so.
That not only depresses WETA's true market share.
Somewhere along the line, that newspaper turned into the world's biggest snobatorium.
It falsely inflates the shares of other stations.
Hello there, yes. I will sound like an intellectual because I'm speaking about WETA.
You see?
When in fact, I'm a moron who doesn't even know how the ratings work.
You see, when I'm at Congressional Country Club on the weekend with my friends, and yes, incidentally, colored people are allowed to play here now. Why, look, there's a colored gentleman right there. Yeah. When I was at the country club over the weekend, I was saying to a friend of mine, I can't believe that horrendous Don and Mike show is supposedly the number one rated show.
Peter, come over here, Peter. Peter, tell your story. Tell your story about that young man, that dullard that called you, that Don and Mike fan.
Doesn't everybody listen to public radio? Why, that gives me an idea for a column. Tell me the story, young man. Tell me your story.
Don't you get that at all the parties around here when people say, you know, you get it from the same type of person? I don't know. What do you do? I listen to NPR.
Yeah,
I don't understand.
That's why when we get the ratings, we make a real point, and I swear to God, this is really heartfelt, and we say, thank you for the ratings, because we know what you're doing is admitting to the accredited radio ratings firm that you listen to the show.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. We appreciate that. We truly do.
We make a big deal of it because of this very reason. You will not read about it in any detail whatsoever in the Washington Post.
Oh, no.
You'll get a mention once in a while. Frank Ahearns gave us a little mention the last time, but I'll tell you, there's very little in there. And but to allow this is just, it's the fault of Bob Levy, it's the fault of Bob Levy's editor, and it's the fault of the editor-in-chief of the Washington Post.
That in crap. That in turn makes the Don and Mikes of the Dial think they have the world on a string. Now, I don't care if you want to write...
That should be a retraction.
I don't care if you want to write that we're full of ourselves, that we're egomaniacs, that we toot our own horns, but it's implied here that we're saying something that's not true.
And that should be retracted, because what is being printed here is a falsification of the truth. You are not telling the truth when you indicate to your listeners in a column or anywhere else that the ratings are determined by some intern making phone calls. It doesn't work that way, and they should retract that just as though they messed up a name, which they always do.
You don't like our attitude because we flaunt the fact that we have number one ratings? That's fine. Go ahead and write it. That's your right. But at the same time, write that the rating system is valid.
Yeah, and we flaunt the ratings. I'll tell you why we flaunt the ratings, because nobody else would let anybody know what our ratings are. We have to do it ourselves.
It obviously just bothers Bob Levy that we do have the world, and more specifically, Washington, D.C. on a string.
Of course.
It has to bother him. I don't know where this, if this came from a cocktail party or a black tie event he was at or a fundraiser he was at, but...
Because we don't consider this little radio show a circle jerk. We consider this radio show to try to entertain people. That's what we try to do here, and he doesn't get that.
You know, and I hope anybody with a brain listening to us that has the time... I'm sure Bob Levy has some email account at the Washington Post.
Yeah, let him know. And I'm sure there are people out there also listening to the show that understand how the ratings work. And you can write an email, because I'll be honest with you. You said, well, Don and Mike, why don't you write him a letter? You know what? I have written letters to the Post before. I know you have, too. It doesn't get printed.
They don't get printed.
They don't get printed at all.
It's better if you guys just send them emails. And say, listen, you're full of crap. The ratings are true. And you know...
Don't let the guy slide on this, really.
Yeah. If you don't like us, that's fine. Write that you don't like us. You don't like... You think we're braggarts or that we're blowhards? That's fine.
You want to talk about something that, you know, we've done on the radio that you don't like? Hey, that is absolutely perfectly legitimate. Well, we're not going to scream as loud as we are when you totally misrepresent the fact.
But the fact is, we work our ass off every single day to come in and do the best show we can for the people who are trapped in their cars for the worst commute in America, and they reward us with great ratings. We thank them for that. We're appreciative of that. But there's no doubt about the fact, this show's a winner. This show's the number one ratings show in D.C., the number one revenue show in D.C., and that's not bull S.
That's right. That's a fact, Jack.
Bob Levy.
Bingo.
What is his month? Rob just wrote me a note about his monthly make up a word. See,
that's another lame thing he does to buy a column every month.
I don't read Bob Levy enough to know about all the lame stuff he does. I just know every year I read the Send a Kid to Camp, and every year it's like 6 weeks of Send a Kid to Camp. Then the last column is, well, we didn't achieve our goal this year.
Yeah, right, exactly. Keep trying, and maybe next year, Bob. No, it's called his neologism contest, and he says something like, what do you call it when you see, like, an ex-girlfriend at the grocery store, and then all the listeners send in a fake, made-up word, and it's such a waste of ink, and he does it every month, and that's one of the things that I hate.
Yeah,
about,
I see. Oh, there you go, every month. Why every come month. Up with new ideas,
no,
Bob?
No, he's not big on originality.
No, not at all.
No, he's not.
Well, kiss my ass, Bob.
There we go.
Very good.
Anybody out there got his email at the Washington Post? I'd love to give that out on the radio.
That'd be great.
Hello, Don and Mike.
He said something like,
hello.
Hello. Turn your radio down, please.
Please. Turn your radio down.
It's down.
Hi, what can we do for you?
I don't know. I just heard Mike say, or Don say, that for people trapped in their cars all day.
Yes.
That was an awesome statement, dude, because I'm a driver.
Your phone's breaking up.
Don?
Yes.
You did say people trapped in their cars, and I just want to say that was an awesome statement.
Thank you, Mike.
It was awesome.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi.
Hi.
I was calling about the survey thing.
Yeah.
I got the exact same thing. They, like, call you up, and they ask you all these questions about the radio stations, and then you get this huge package in the mail, and they want to know what stores you shop at and what TV shows you watch. And
yeah, see, that's not the radio, and again, we're going to get in trouble if we talk about this.
Yeah, we have to go over the line, yeah.
About how Arbitron works,
but... The time they're on the phone, they're like, you can make a difference in which shows are carried.
No,
you can
BS.
Make a difference.
The only way you can make a difference is if you get a call from Arbitron.
Right.
That's the ratings company. That's it. And I mean, listen.
Well, this is Scarborough.
Oh, Scarborough is research. That's obviously some other research company. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hey, Don.
Yeah.
The email address for Bob Levy.
Yeah.
levyb@washpost.com.
All right. Would you give that out one more time, please?
levyb@washpost.com.
All right, thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
You write that down, Buzz?
I did. Got it.
Give it out one more time.
That's LevyB@washpost.com.
Good. Everybody should write that prick and tell him that, you know, what he's writing in the newspaper today just isn't right.
Demand a retraction.
Yeah, absolutely. Demand a retraction.
Yeah. I mean, you know.
A correction.
Again, if you don't like the fact that we say we're number one, go ahead and write it.
Right.
But we're only saying it because it's the truth.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a valid fact.
Right.
I'm sorry you can't deal with it, Bob. I'm sorry. You know, I guess, I don't know. Maybe he's bothered by the fact that we're reaching more people right now than read his column in a month.
Yeah, sure. Of course we are.
You know, I mean, it must be tough to be Bob Levy and everywhere you go just have people talk about Don and Mike all the time.
Yeah, I guess he's Bob. Just killing it.
I can understand. He's a little bit of a complex, I guess.
Yeah. What would be the sound that Bob Levy makes when the...
Bob, maybe a little less time worrying about us... having the world on a string, and a little more time about sending another kid to camp.
There you go. Mm-hmm.
Or even better, why don't you just drop the whole goddamn send a kid to camp thing and just try to write a column that's readable every day.
Bingo!
Okay? Because that's the equivalent of Jack Diamond. You know, when Jack Diamond can't come up with a show...
Right.
He just does a show based on, like, some charity case in the news.
Of course, of course.
You know,
he uses it for material.
Same for Bob Levy. Oh, gee, I'm stuck for an idea. Oh, wait, hold on. Thank God it's August. It's send a kid to camp time.
This should be easy.
It's the chain of checks column.
Bob Levy.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, hi. Good afternoon, Don and Mike.
Hi there.
Loyal listener of the show.
Thanks.
I just want to make a comment about, no wonder G. Gordon Liddy says Washington bleep. Okay, being a loyal listener to the show, what I'm going to do is I'm going to cancel my prescription of the Washington Post getting to my house.
Very good. Well, cancel your prescription.
Thank you. Hello. Not in my show.
Hey, what's up, fellas?
Hey, buddy.
I just want to let you guys know
Hold on.
Quiet.
Stop. I had to delete that out. You're not allowed to talk about the real ratings on the radio.
Oh, man.
I'm sorry.
You can't say it. We can't say it. And we've had these calls before. We can't talk about that.
But suffice to say,
I just want to let you guys know that you guys are great.
We appreciate that, and we really do. We get excited when we get a call like that. We just can't talk about it.
What this fellow is just saying is that he did get contacted by the real ratings company, and you obviously know it's the real ratings company and not just some research group calling.
Thank you very much for the call.
Thank you for your support.
Hi, gentlemen.
Hope you listen to the show every day.
Hey, okay, watch it, you.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, what's up, guys?
You couldn't help yourself.
No,
could
I
you?
Couldn't.
You're cracking me up.
Show's on 4 hours a day. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, you guys do have the world by a string, no doubt. I think Levy's mad because you got him by the string between his legs.
He did. Right, his little wee-wee, just like Charlie Stossel's little wee-wee.
No, it's his little, that's another string.
Different
tampon string.
There you go.
Oh, I got you. All right, thank you. Goodbye. Okay, enough of that, but everybody, seriously, you know, it's time for the KISS Army to unite.
Yeah, right. Very rarely do we mobilize the KISS Army, only when we think a real injustice has been done.
And please, don't like send him emails that say F you.
Yeah, don't be dumb.
I mean, send emails that really say you're not portraying things as they truly are.
Right. Absolutely.
You know, and why such the vendetta, and how about a retraction?
Yeah.
In Bob Levy's Washington.
Very good.
And Buzz, that email address again is?
LevyB@washpost.com.
Is it LevyY?
It's LevyB@washpost.com.
Because I'm reading it here, it's L-E-V-E-Y.
Okay, then that's how it should be spelled. LevyB@washpost.com.
Hey, Buzz, why don't you just see if you can email him right now?
Okay, I don't know that this computer has access to email, but I'll give it a shot.
All right, do that. While you're doing that, we're going to call 100. Then we're going to hear Mike's Lunch with Tom Gavin. I love that. And, of course, for those who serve...
It's Veterans Day.
Now a prize package selected especially for you. Be the 100th person to call right now. 877-365-3636. Good luck to ye.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Cletus, what are you beating your gums about?
They are importing more comedy bits from Japan in order to prolong your listening pleasure. It is the radio program of Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
All right, listen, let's get three more words of the story for the trip to Tampa.
Okay.
Mike, why don't you go first?
Question, tell me what you think.
Unusually.
I buy my own diamonds and I buy my own rings. Only ring of belly when I'm feeling lonely. When it's all over, please get up and leave. Question, tell me how you feel about this. Tell me, boy, you
get this. Fecally.
Fecally.
You could use fecal. No, but smelled something unusually fecally. Fecally.
Like
fecally. Something usually unusually fecally. And then buzz, please.
And.
Okay. So the three words as we continue the story for the WWF trip today are unusually fecally. And we've already started to receive some of our entries in the Mr. 40 contest.
Excellent.
Some families have faxed in. Share those with you shortly. Now a call number 100 on this very busy Friday. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, I'm caller 100.
Yes, you are. Hi, what's your name?
Stan.
Stan, where are you from?
Spokane.
All right, Stosh, here you go. You've won the WWF Survivor Series prize pack.
Stan. All right.
Stan from Spokane.
Courtesy of Comcast Cable, Cox Cable. WWF Survivor Series in demand in your home Sunday, November 19th. Please enjoy this wrestling. Call Comcast or Cox Cable System to order the pay-per-view. Thank you, Stan.
Thank you.
And you listen on radio station KFAN, right?
Yes, sir.
KFAN in Spokane.
Right.
Love ya.
Beautiful. Love you, too. Thank you for listening, my friend. Spokane Stan.
Listening on KFAN.
I don't like green eggs and ham.
Do you like them, Sam? Stan, I am.
Spokane Stan, I am. Okay. Even though the election is not over yet. Oh, hold on a second. Buzz actually sent an email to Bob Levy.
I did indeed.
Thank you, Buzz. And here's what it says. Mm-hmm. So, Bob, which is it? Do you not know how radio ratings work after all your experience in the medium? Or did you just decide to lie about it so you could promote public radio and disparage Don and Mike? Are you shorthanded for fact-checkers at the Post? Or have you just been given carte blanche to say whatever you like about the Don and Mike Show? Buzz Burbank, news anchor, the Don and Mike Show.
Yay! Nice one. Nice and to the point.
Well written.
Thank you.
Thank you, Buzz.
Very good, Buzz.
He's a wordsmith.
Yes, yep. I am.
You know that?
Well crafted.
He's a wordsmith. He's a cocksmith.
He's
Guy Birdley.
There you go.
All right, so even though the election is not over yet, we're not even going to touch that today. We were all over it too much yesterday. Mike conceded our bet and went to lunch today with Tom Gavin. Now, the restaurant of choice was
Ruby Tuesdays in the Fairfax Court.
Okay, let's roll the tape. Now, an entire 30-minute lunch, everything recorded. Let's start with Mike and Tom. And this was just hours ago.
Yes,
lunchtime.
A few short hours ago.
Here we go.
Oh, God. All right, here we are. We're at Ruby Tuesdays in Fairfax, Virginia, and it's a fantastic day. Looking forward to paying off my bet. Well, that didn't take long. Here is Tom. Tom is making his way back to the table. Tom Gavin. Oh, God. Hi, Tom.
Hi, Mike.
Welcome, Tom.
Welcome, Mike.
How about a roar? Thank you. All right. Fantastic. Good to see you.
Good.
How are you?
Good.
So nice to see you. This is our lunch. Oh, you brought me things. Hold on, Tom. That's for you for later.
Oh,
okay?
Really?
Yeah, I got something for you. All right. Can you fit in here?
Yeah.
All right. Well, here we are.
Yep, here we are.
It's our fabulous lunch.
Yes, it's fabulous lunch.
Now, we've got a very special day planned, Tom.
Yes, we do.
Hold on, Mike. I got to ask you.
Yeah.
Describe Tom physically.
Tom was as dressed up as I've ever seen him. He was wearing a brownish tan golf shirt and some slacks, sensible slacks. And he came in with a bunch of crap, like he always does, with like cassettes and CDs and all that garbage.
In that nicer clothing, did he look any better?
No.
Did he still have his cane?
Yes, he had his cane and his big oversized head. And the one thing I became more aware of as you sit across from him, and we were in a very romantic booth, his teeth.
What about his teeth?
He could use the Dennis Murphy treatment. And when he roared, Even though it doesn't sound like it, everybody in the restaurant turned around and looked.
Mike, hold on. We've got to interrupt the tape for just a moment. Because joining us on the celebrity hotline now, and I believe maybe from Oakland, California, Johnny Fieldgoal, Brett Conway, everybody.
Hey, Brett, how you doing?
Hey, guys, how's it going?
You remember Brett got effed by the Redskins a while ago, and you're in Oakland, right?
I am not yet.
Where are you now, Brett?
They said if they were going to do anything, it would be at the last minute, and they would probably fly me directly into Denver because they play against the Broncos Monday night.
Wow. For the Monday night game, because the kicker for the Raiders has some kind of infection in his foot, and he couldn't kick last week. Brett, besides the Raiders, what other teams, can you tell us the other teams you're talking to?
You know, unfortunately, a bunch of teams had called when I wasn't healthy and I wasn't ready to kick, and now all those kickers that were on those teams are doing well. And
it sounds like they're
waiting for somebody else to screw up.
It sounds like they're like a passel of kickers that go from city to city auditioning for kicking gigs.
It is. It is. It's kind of funny how Mike Husted and I have, you know, if I were to be signed by Oakland for this game, it's kind of, we switched roles this year.
Yeah, because they cut Husted to sign Janikowski. I know you don't want to burn a bridge, but really, I mean, when you sit back and you watch the Redskins now, you must be laughing your ass off at the fact that they went through Husted, that they went through Hebner, and every game they lose is because they can't make a 30-yard field goal, right?
You know, unfortunately, you know, it's easy for me to look back and laugh about it now, but, you know, it's a serious situation for them. And all they had to do was just be a little more patient and, you know.
Yep.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, you're being very diplomatic.
For the record, last year, from 40 yards and in, how many out of how many did you make? Do you know?
From 40 in?
Yeah.
From 40 to 49, I didn't miss. I think I was 8 for 8 or 9 for 9.
That's not bad.
That's 40 to 49. There are a lot of kickers that can't make those field goals outside of 42 yards.
Well, what about from 50 yards and longer? How were you last year?
Well, that's where I needed some work. I had 950-plus-yard field goal attempts last year, which was a record last year.
Nine.
And I was 3 of 9.
You know what, listen, I'll take that from my field goal kicker.
Hey, 50-plus yards, how many guys even try it from that?
That's right.
But inside that, you were virtually perfect.
Yeah, we had some blocked, and there were three inside of 40 yards that I missed that were my fault. That, you know, had I made those, it would have been a more successful season for me.
You know, I can't believe, I know I said this the day that you were here, and I've been thinking about it, watching the Redskins every week. I can't believe how they effed your situation up, that all you had done is come in, kick field goals, kick winning field goals.
At a great percentage, a much better percentage than a lot of other guys.
And then they just flat let you go, and now the field goal kicker is really one of the main reasons that the Redskins are 6-4.
Right.
And they're sucking so much ass.
Now, there's no way you could ever come back now, right, to the Redskins?
Correct. Yeah, once they put me on injured reserve, you can't come back to that team that year.
Wow.
No.
What if they keep, you know, they're hiring Eddie Murray now, who is like...
I saw that.
Is there a chance that you'd come back next year?
I would. There would obviously have to be a lot of negotiating done, and maybe some apologies, and, you know, maybe some different personnel with the Redskins. Other than that, I met a lot of really good people in D.C., and I think the team's a winning team, and, you know, I'd love to come back.
So, listen, what are the odds that you end up kicking on Monday Night Football for Oakland?
You know, I don't know. The Raiders have been so vague about it. You know, everybody seems to think they're going to sign me, but we haven't heard anything. And I was told that I was the only one that they had brought in for a workout. And,
right.
You know, they said I wouldn't fly into Oakland, that I would fly. They would fly me directly into Denver.
That's pretty
once
weird.
Once they find out if Janikowski could kick. He had to be hospitalized for a few days.
Pretty weird on a Friday that they wouldn't have even given you a definitive word.
Yeah.
Yeah, Christ, I forgot it's Friday that the game is like 2 days away.
Yeah.
So, what, did you go out to Oakland for a tryout, though?
This was my day. We announced Monday that I was healthy and I could work out for team.
Right.
We went. They called Monday night. I had a 6:20 flight out of Dulles. I flew into Denver, had a layover in Denver, flew to Oakland. Within an hour of getting off the plane, I had a workout. And I thought I had a pretty good workout. An hour after my workout, I was getting back on the plane where I flew to L.A. for a layover and then all the way back to Dulles and didn't get home until 2 in the morning. So it was literally 12 hours of flying time.
The life of a kicker in the NFL, ladies and gentlemen.
And when you had this tryout for Oakland after all this flying for basically 1 hour of kicking, how many kicks did they make you do?
Probably around 10 kickoffs and between 20 and 30 field goals.
Really? And how'd you do on those?
I did well. I actually did better than I thought I was going to do. It's always a tricky wind condition.
Man, that is really, well, that's a real pressure cooker of a situation.
Yeah.
Hey, Christ, there'd be no better way for you to get back in the league than kicking for the Raiders on Monday Night Football.
Yeah, good luck. I hope that works out for you.
Yeah, me too. I appreciate it, guys.
Would you still wear number four?
Five?
I'm sorry.
Five. I don't know. Whoever, they just assigned me a number.
Right.
They'll be pinning my number and name on the back of the jersey if they do bring me in.
It'll be like made out of
a game.
Be made out of paper.
Well, listen, can you? I know you'll have a million things on your mind, but if you do get the call to go to Denver, can you call us on Monday, or can you have somebody? Can you have your girlfriend? Has your girlfriend left you yet?
No, she's right here actually.
Okay, well, that's good. Could you have your girlfriend call us Monday just to tell us so we can all root for you Monday night?
Yeah, we'll know to look in on the game. Absolutely.
Cool. Absolutely.
Because, you know, we have stations in the Bay Area, and I know that there's a lot of Raider fans who would be interested
absolutely
in you kicking for the Raiders. And, you know, who knows, maybe best case scenario, you know, this guy gets gangrene or something in his foot.
And they have to amputate.
Yeah, and then you're the kicker for the Raiders, who have the best record in the AFC.
But if I was a kicker, Brett, and I had my foot amputated, I'd get one of those super, like, metal feet.
Yeah.
Well, who had that? Was it Tom Dempsey?
Do that Tom Dempsey thing.
Yeah. I mean, well, he just had, like, his toes gone or half his foot gone, but if he had the whole foot, you could get, like, one of those incredible steel feet.
Did you happen to watch the Redskins on Sunday?
I did.
And when the last lamb that they brought in for the sacrifice lined up for the 33-yard field goal and he missed it, now be honest, what was your reaction?
I felt sorry for him, especially after the camera panned over to him on the sideline for a good 30 seconds as he was wiping his brow.
Was he 8 years old? He looked like he was about 8 years old.
He was a rookie, and he was a really, really nice guy. And, you know, unfortunately, when you have a loss like that of a team you're not supposed to lose to, somebody has to go.
I understand that there's like a fraternity with you kickers, and you felt bad for him, but when it went right, when it went wide of the uprights, taking the kicker out of it, you know, did you see it, and did you look at your girlfriend and just, I mean, I would picture you just looking and go, ha-ha, suckers.
No, I'm kind of over it, but once that happened, I get about five phone calls back-to-back. Did you see that? Did you see that?
Yeah. So. Well, listen, you son of a bitch. Best of luck. We hope that the guy's foot in Denver doesn't get well so you can kick for the Raiders on Monday night.
Thank you.
And in the Monday night spotlight, best of luck.
That's right. Brett Conway will be kicking maybe for the Raiders this weekend.
Now listen, for any of you other teams in our markets looking for kickers, you know, I know that Dalawisa is always shaky for the Giants.
Right.
We fully endorse Brett Conway. And
yeah, not only is he a good kicker, but he looks real good on the team calendar.
You are you are absolutely back to 100% football shape.
Yes, I am.
Okay. And finally, would you have a message for Dan Snyder?
I don't think so. I think he's much more powerful than I.
Probably a
I'll
good
leave
way
that
to play.
One alone.
How's your motorcycle doing?
It's great. It's excellent.
Very good.
How about a message for Vinny Cerato?
Oh, I'll pass on that one as well.
Anything for Norm?
Trying not to burn bridges here.
All right. What about a piece of advice for the new Redskins kicker, whoever it is, Eddie Murray, whoever it is?
Eddie Murray. I mean, he's old. He doesn't need any advice from me. You know, they had to bring another guy in to kick off. Now, that could be a different story. You know, he's obviously going to have to study under Eddie Murray since Eddie's knows what he's doing. But
a constant pressure cooker.
It could be a 1-2 punch. You never know.
All right. Well, we're rooting for you.
Well, thanks, guys. I appreciate it. It was good talking to you.
You too. And listen, have your girlfriend call if you're kicking Monday night. Cause, you know,
I will.
We'll all root for the Raiders.
Okay. Sounds good, guys.
All right. Thank you, Brett.
We'll see you.
See you, buddy.
That's Brett Conway, bye-bye. Former field goal kicker for the Washington Redskins.
And for the Green Bay Packers, too.
Pack, that's right.
Good guy.
Really good guy. Really got effed by the Redskins.
Came in here and hung out one day with us.
They just got to be kicking themselves that they just let him go.
Get it, kicking themselves.
Yeah. But they really have to be.
Sure.
Because they let him go for no reason.
Yeah, and then the whole kicking situation turned into a Royal CF.
Yeah, and they're losing like every game now because they can't make an extra point. They can't kick a goddamn 30-yard field goal.
So if the other kicker for the Raiders says, my foot is green. Hack it off.
Well, you know, the kicker.
You could fix that, you know.
Oh, Civil War surgeon.
You're still by Pat.
You know, the kicker for the Raiders has some kind of bacterial infection
right
in his kicking foot.
You know what that causes? You know what causes that?
Right.
You know, it's
toe sack.
Absolutely.
That's right.
That's how you get those infections.
It's putting his toe in some nasty poontang.
That's right, and then it just gets into the nail and then works its way up into the ankle.
Well, good for Brett. God, I hope he gets that job. Monday Night Football will be a great showcase for him.
Amen. Hope that works out for him.
Me too. Hello, Don and Mike.
Don and Mike.
Yeah.
I've got a little something for you.
What?
Listen up.
I've got the world on a string.
I've got the world on a string. Little Frank Sinatra, world on a string.
Very good. That would be dedicated to Mr. Bob Levy.
There you go.
Nice
job.
Keep up the good work, boys.
Thank you, my friend. Email that bastard. Buzz's email address again is Levy, LEVEYB. At washpost.com. Beautiful. Thank you. Now, let's get it. We had just started Mike's Lunch with Tom Gavin.
My wonderful lunch with Thomas Aloysius Gavin.
You mentioned that he was dressed nicer than normal.
Yeah, he dressed up a little bit.
How was the smell factor?
I didn't get any odor from Tom. Not one bit of odor. I did, I did focus on the teeth, though. The teeth were quite interesting, and I should say, every time Tom yells or screams, it was such a good quality of microphone. It sounds, the sound quality is so good, you don't get a sense of how loud it was in the restaurant, and everybody turned around when he did that.
When he roared.
Yes, and did other things.
All right, here's Mike and Tom at lunch today.
It's our fabulous lunch.
Yes, it's fabulous lunch.
Now, we've got a very special day planned, Tom.
Yes, we do.
Did you have any trouble finding the restaurant?
No, I did not.
That's terrific. So, I see you've got your police hat on.
Yes, I do.
And those are your special dress slacks?
Yes, they are.
That's great. And, well, let's would you like to get a drink, Tom?
Yeah.
All right, very good. What did you give me, Tom?
The...
What?
The tape from my show.
Well, that's great. Hey, Tom, guess what I've told them here?
What?
We're going to play a game. I told them it's your birthday.
Yeah.
So we're going to have a birthday party for you.
Yeah.
Are you excited about that?
Yes.
Can I hear a roar? They love that here in the restaurant.
Now, every time he's doing that,
it is so loud that everyone stops their eating and looks over at Tom. I got a booth in the back of the restaurant. I got a booth, like, I went to the far corners of Ruby Tuesdays.
How crowded was Ruby Tuesdays today?
It was packed. When at the end of the lunch, they were waiting in line to get in.
Grand.
At the beginning, there were, you know, it was probably about three quarters full.
Love it.
You like this place, Tom?
Yes, I do.
It's a good enough restaurant?
Yes, it is.
Let's see if we can get some service over here, okay?
Yes, we can get some service.
You want to ask for some service?
Yes.
Why don't you yell for some service?
Service!
There you go. Very good. Hey, here comes some service right now.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, here comes the manager. Here comes the... Is this our waiter?
Yes, sir.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
What's your name?
I'm Anthony.
Anthony, this is Tom Gavin.
How you doing? How you doing?
Good.
Nice to meet you.
It's a very special day for Tom.
Tom, what's special about today?
Elections.
No, Tom, it's your birthday.
My birthday.
There you go. That's right. It's Tom's birthday today. And he'd like to order. What would you like to drink, Tom? Would you like some, anything you want, Tom. It's your special day.
Now, do you allow him to have hooch?
Yeah, I asked. I said anything he wants. You'll hear what he picks.
Okay.
Tom would like a Coke. A Diet Coke. Make it two Diet Cokes.
Two Diet Cokes?
Okay. All right, well, I see that it's 3 minutes in front of 12, which means, actually, Tom, I'm going to be leaving a little before 12:30, because the bet is that I have to stay here for 30 minutes, but I'll pay for everything.
Okay.
All right, now, while we're waiting, Tom, since it's your birthday, hold the microphone for a second. Just hold it right there. I got something special for you. I think you're going to really like this, since I decided to make this special. Look.
Yep.
What I got for you, Tom?
Whoa.
This is Alpha Bird.
Alpha Bird.
Alpha Bird is the ready-to-read robot. Hold on a second. Let's open it up. Can you see that?
Yeah.
All right, I don't know how we turn it on. Hey, our Diet Cokes are here. Thanks, Anthony.
Gentlemen. You're welcome, Anthony.
Can you say a nice big thank you to Anthony?
Thank you, Anthony.
Very good. Okay, terrific. All right, Dan, this is, if you want to order lunch, Tom, we better do that because I want to get out of here relatively soon. No, I don't think we need, Anthony, I don't think we need appetizers. I think we're going to get right to the entree. What do you think about that?
Sounds good.
The entree.
Oh, we got a whole...
He likes steak and potatoes.
Okay. Got a nice sirloin for you, Tom. Sirloin, potatoes, baked potatoes, broccoli. How you feel about that?
Good. Fried shrimp, better.
What?
Shrimp.
Do you want steak?
No.
Do you want steak or shrimp, Tom?
Shrimp.
You want shrimp instead of steak?
Yes.
We can get you steak and shrimp.
Oh, he want, hey, Tom, they have steak and shrimp.
Yeah, steak and shrimp.
Tom wants steak and shrimp.
Okay, how'd you like that, Tom? Medium rare?
Yes, medium rare.
Medium rare on the shrimp?
Now, how is the waiter looking at you when this is going on?
The waiter, Anthony, was fantastic. Everybody at Ruby Tuesday's was great. They were a lot of them, obviously, you know, this is right in our backyard, so they knew what was going on, and everybody was very cool. Anthony was a perfect waiter, though, for Tom, but Anthony didn't, I don't think he understood what was going on.
Huh.
He just was good. He
just thought it was two buddies out having lunch.
Yeah, two pals. We look like, you know, we're like that now. On the shrimp? We're having fun, aren't we, Tom? We're having a good time, aren't we? This is good. Tom's going to have the steak and shrimp, okay? And I'll have a... I didn't know what I wanted to have. Because I wanted to have something they could actually get out to me rapidly, but I really wanted to have lunch because I hadn't eaten lunch.
I think I'll have an appetizer. Like something small. What do you have that's quick?
Fried cheese.
Fried cheese? No, I can't eat fried cheese. It's too fattening. Do you have any, like, salmon?
We have tilapia.
What's tilapia?
It's a white flaky fish.
A white flaky fish?
Like a female body
white
part.
Flaky fish.
Sounds like a sexual disease.
Tilapia.
I'm sorry, you have tilapia.
That's what that kicker for the Raiders has.
Okay.
Medium rare.
Medium rare.
All right, fantastic, Tom. All right, so here, this is what I got you. This is Alphabert, Tom. This is your birthday present. This is the growing reader. You press the buttons, and Alphabert talks to you. Let me see how I can turn up the volume here, I think. Let's see.
So you bought him a toy that actually helps him learn how to read and spell, right?
A spelling toy. It's a letter toy. It's not a toy. It's an Alphabert. It's a real, like, a little mini computer. Want me to start it?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go.
Let's see how the sounds of letters make a word.
You like that, Tom?
Yes.
Do you like your present? Nice and loud. This is radio, Tom.
Yes, I like my present.
Okay, very good. All right, let's see.
Let's see how the sounds of letters make a word.
All right, very good.
Okay.
Press. All right, let's see. Why don't you press one of those buttons, Tom?
Where?
Huh? Anywhere.
Some words sound the same. These words rhyme. Fill in the letter to make the two words rhyme.
Okay, you like this present?
Yes, I do.
Hey, here comes our manager, Scott.
If you don't mind, sir, I've got a young lady over here who says she's a big fan of yours. If you could get an autograph for me.
Tom, would you like to deliver the autograph after I sign it here?
Yes.
Okay.
That'd be wonderful.
Yeah. There you go. All right, Tom, now you can bring it over to her. All right. In fact, we'll go over to their booth. How about that, Tom? Why not, since we've got people? Hey, Tom, maybe you'll get a big round of applause. Hey, and I see you're signing your name.
Yeah.
Doesn't that look good?
Yeah.
All right, let's go. Let's go over here.
Listen, I know you're putting the best possible face on this.
Yes, I am.
But seriously.
Yes, I am.
How repulsive was it to sit with Tom for 30 minutes?
Yeah. It wasn't bad at all. I consider Tom to be a good friend. And you'll hear later on in the tape that we hope that maybe all three of us can get together at some point.
Not a chance.
Here we go. Hi, ladies. Hey, how you doing? Can we join you?
Yes, sir.
All right, sit down, Tom.
Let's I just joined him for a minute.
Sit right down.
Hey, all right.
Here, we got a couple of hot chicks here, Tom.
Yeah.
Hi, what's your name?
Carolyn Toohey.
Carolyn, and what's your name?
Sana.
And are you big fans of Tom Gavin?
Yeah, we are, sir.
Yeah, so am I. And Tom, can we have a nice roar for these ladies? There you go. Attaboy. Sorry about that, Mr. Manager. Are you a fan of Tom's also?
Yeah. Woo.
Well, you know what the big deal is? See, we're having a big birthday party for Tom.
Oh, you are? Yeah. I thought you lost. Never mind.
Yeah.
She was about to say, I thought you lost the bet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
No, we don't. Yeah, so you can say it. I did lose the bet. Yes. Thank you. Okay, I think we better cool that. The manager's getting a little upset with that. Is this your boyfriend over here?
Right.
Hey, come on over here, pal. Come on. This is Tom Gavin. Let me, Tom?
How you doing?
What's your name, sir?
Brad.
Brad, this is a special day. We're actually, don't tell anybody, we told the manager it's Tom's birthday, and it really isn't. Pretty good idea.
Right on.
And I see you have a shaved head just like Tom.
Yep.
Pretty cool. It's a sexy look, right, Tom?
Yep. Yeah. Yes, it is.
Okay, well, we've troubled you enough, haven't we? Hey, I see you're all smoking cigarettes. Tom, would you like a cigarette for the road? You don't smoke?
No, I don't smoke.
Okay, we're going to get going. Nice meeting you. Say goodbye to Tom.
Bye, Tom.
Bye.
All right, here we go. Yeah, I am too. Thanks a lot.
This is great.
See you later. Thank you very much. All right, back to our private table. Hey, those were some... What's the matter, Tom?
My shoe.
What happened to your shoe?
What? I just... The slip thing came off of it.
The Velcro?
Yeah, the Velcro.
The Velcro strap.
Why is that not a shock to me?
Yeah,
that Tom has Velcro straps on his shoes.
Yeah, had a little, he got all excited when he ran over to that table and his shoe came undone. And it's a lovely
We're having
shoe.
Fun, aren't we?
All right, fantastic. Hey, the thing's still going. We're going to turn this off now.
Yeah.
But let me tell you, it develops growing reader skills, Tom, this thing, so I want you to take that home, okay?
Yes.
How's your diet going?
Good.
All right, very good. All right, we're going to close this up now.
Hold on, we got to stop it here because we have to do a break. And you've not even received your food yet.
No, food's, that was one of the things, just getting the food there. They were all very, very nice. They were kind of standing around and looking at Tom, and, you couldn't get the food there quick enough for me, and
sure.
I get a little frustrated.
Three more words now in the story for the trip to Tampa Bay. Okay, and Mike, your turn to go first.
All right.
Everybody, I hope you're keeping track of this. Win the trip to Tampa Bay today for the WWF Survivor Series.
I'll finish the sentence with rancid.
Emitting
buzz
from.
There you go.
That's your next three words.
Mm-hmm.
Rancid, emitting, from. Now, I know we have to break because Jimmy Kimmel from Fox NFL Sunday is coming on.
Hello?
But, this is not Jimmy. This is Tom.
Tom sounds like he's got his toy that I gave him.
Hi, Tom. Tom?
I'm playing with my toy.
Do you like it, Tom?
Yes, I do.
Oh, that's great.
Old friend.
How did you like your lunch with Mike today?
Good.
We've not even heard the part yet of the tape where you get your food.
I know. How are you guys doing today?
Tom, have you figured out your toy?
Yeah. I'm playing with it right now.
Is it the best toy anybody's ever gotten you?
Yeah.
That's good. I had a great time with you today, Tom.
I did.
Did you like it when we met the hot chicks?
Yep.
Yeah.
That's terrific. This is kind of the way the lunch went.
Okay. Tom, call back.
All right.
Call back after the tape.
Okay.
Oh, and he's gone.
He's gone. No need to say goodbye. He's distracted by the toy.
He's gone. Yeah, I can't imagine you sitting for a half hour with that monster.
Hey, I got there early, and it started about 3 minutes after. 3 minutes of, actually. And I looked at my watch. It was 3 minutes before noon. He sat down. He arrived. I talked with him. I looked at my watch again. It was 2 minutes before noon.
Just sitting around playing Alphabert. And eating paint chips.
Absolutely.
Children. Okay, we have to break now because Jimmy Kimmel is coming on to pick the pros until they scab and bleed.
Very good.
And then back to your nightmare.
Yeah, it has a big finish. Tape's got a big finish.
We will be right back.
This is the Dawn and Mike Show.
And she was saying that she was 2 weeks pregnant. And I didn't believe it because when you're just two weeks pregnant, you can't really tell just because you haven't seen your menstruation.
Right, honey. Here we go with a station break. Memphis. Radio station WWGQ in Seattle, KRKO. Green Bay, WNFL. And every night in New York on WNEW.
They can turn a bucket of crap into a bucket of cream. The Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, we try.
Mm-hmm.
All right, listen, we're going to get back to Mike's tape with Tom Gavin.
Good.
In just a moment. I know we've had a lot of interruptions today. This is a scheduled interruption, though. Because I love Jimmy Kimmel on the Fox show.
Oh, he's fantastic. He's great on that man show, too.
I know when we've had Howie on before that... Howard Holo has kind of told us that all that the crap, that Terry hates Jimmy, that's all shtick.
Right.
But either way, Jimmy Kimmel is goddamn funny on the Fox show. And I know you missed it on Sunday, but he did maybe the funniest one I've ever seen, where they had a guy on who did an absolute perfect vocal impression of Madden.
John Madden.
And physically, the guy looked like Chris Farley with John Madden makeup on. And at the very end of the piece, he says to him, "Do you want some hot wings?" And they come back, and the guy who's Madden has got the sauce all over his face and all over his arm.
I love it. It's entertainment. That's what it ought to be.
And anyway, he's real funny.
I know a lot of pricks out there at first when he came on went, well, why is Jimmy Kimmel on the Fox show? But I look forward to his segment every week.
Didn't we talk to him at a Super Bowl one time, too?
Yeah, well, you know, he used to work with Bean.
Right, that's right. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah, he used to work at K-Rock.
Right, that's right.
So let's welcome him now. Oh, I've been talking about him the whole time. Duh, he's online. Here now is...
I don't know. I hope I can live up to that intro.
Here is Jimmy Kimmel, who is also on the Ben Stein Show.
Yes, that's right.
What's happening, fellas? Actually, I'm off that now, but they still rerun me on it about 9 times a day.
Listen, those bits that you do on the Fox Show, they slay me.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it.
I mean, really...
I don't hear too many compliments on them. It's usually just angry sports writers who feel they should be in that spot.
It's so great that he goofs on... Well, first off, that he goofs on, you know, the animals that he works with.
You know, I'm curious if Madden ever got back to you on that. Do you get any feedback from John Madden on that bit?
Well, I've never even spoken to John Madden. I saw him in a hotel at the NFC Championship last year, and I heard he didn't like me, so I decided not to approach him. But, supposedly he thought it was funny, but I have not heard anything from John personally.
Oh, listen, and Jimmy, who was the guy...
That's a guy named Frank Caliendo. He's an actor, and I saw him do this Madden impersonation, so we decided to put him on.
I love the subtle stuff when Jimmy does his bits on the Fox show. That it's like he's like in a 10-year-old's bedroom. Where he has the NFL drapery in the background. He's got the NFL bedspread.
It's funny that you say that because that bedroom actually belongs to my 29-year-old cousin Sal. He's in the basement of my home.
Oh, that's
great. And they have not mocked it up. That's what it looks like.
Oh, so God. They actually bring a crew out and you do it there.
Yeah, that is what, I mean, they threw in a few more, like they'll throw underwear and socks around the room, but basically that is what the room looks like all the time because my cousin Sal has the mind of a 10-year-old with a gambling problem.
Well, listen, your bits on that show really are funny and really are a highlight because although those four guys that do the show are good and they've got good chemistry and they're funny.
Right.
I think what's great about it a lot of time is even though your stuff is lowbrow, it's to them it's highbrow. And a lot of times you do something that it's like slap nuts funny and you come back to those guys and they're like monkeys up there scratching their heads because they don't really get what you've just been goofing on.
And the reaction's always like,
mama is this.
Yeah, it's a lot of...
It's usually something that starts with yo mama.
So what is the real deal between you and Terry Bradshaw? What is the official word, at least your official word?
Well, you know, it's funny because at first, Terry really hated me. You got to say, this is a guy, he's in the Football Hall of Fame. He's one of the all-time greats. He's had his ass kissed for his whole life.
Right.
When he was in high school, he probably picked guys like me up by their nipples and twisted them, you know? And then all of a sudden comes this a-hole in the person of me, and I start making fun of him on his show, and he has no idea who I am or what the hell I think I'm doing. He spun out a little, you know. I mean, he was really mad. He was really, really mad.
No, he was.
About halfway into the season, I think he realized, hey, I'm getting all the attention on the show now. You know, I get every bit of it now because of this rivalry with Kimmel. So then he started to like me. But then at the beginning of the season, I think he actually hated me again at the beginning of this season. And I'm not convinced that he hasn't stopped. I mean, even though every time they get interviewed, they say, oh, no, that's all this and that.
Right.
Chris definitely likes me less this year than he did last year.
I love these honest answers.
And Terry, I'm pretty sure, I know Terry wouldn't complain about me in the off season, so I don't really know how well he likes me.
Well, just one other funny bit that you did last year, and I don't know if it continues this year, but I've seen you like just holding up a sign that says, I love JB. You did this bit where JB is his dad. You know, really good,
right,
funny stuff. When you go out, does the average football fan get what you're doing. I know you get ripped like by douchebags in the newspaper who don't think you should be there, but when you go out, does the average fan have the same reaction as we do? Like, you know, hey, that's those are funny bits you do.
I have to keep men from kissing me when I'm in a bar or something like that.
Well, you know, from your time on The Man Show, too, I would imagine that men do profess their love for you much more than women, I would imagine.
Yes, in general, yes. And sometimes I'll just get... Sometimes women will actually just hit me as they're walking by. and then it's like, look, I had a woman, the stewardess, I'm sitting on the plane, and I'm just sitting in my seat, and, you know, she's checking to make sure everyone's safety belts are fastened, and she whacks me over the head with a rolled up magazine. I was like, what? She just gave me a dirty look, like, get off my plane.
So here you are, Mr. TV star, you're on Fox, you're on The Man Show, you got this hot career. Are you getting laid all the time?
No. In fact, I had a very serious talk with my wife about that.
Oh, okay. All right.
You know what I said to her? I said, I honestly believe that if you had to choose between having sex with me three times a week, you had to have sex with me three times a week, or never have sex with me again, you would go with the never have sex with me again.
What did she say?
She wasn't very convincing in her, in her denial of that.
No, honey, no.
Hypothetical, you know. But she was like, oh, that's not so true.
And now the segment that they have on Fox is you and the hot girl who does the weather, who's really basically just there because she's so incredibly hot.
Yeah.
Now, do you ever, I mean, your stuff is all taped. Do you have any contact with her at all?
No, I have no contact with anybody. I really, you know, I never talk to these guys ever. And, you know, I don't want to either because who knows, we might become friendly and then I'll let up on them.
Yeah, right.
Exactly. Like, JB, you know, like right at the beginning of the season, I got the word that he was the only one that liked me. So I vowed never to make fun of him. You know?
There you go.
And they're all like, hey, what's going on? How come we're all getting in? No, he isn't saying anything about JB. And I was just, well, it's because I know what goes on the inside.
That's fantastic. Well, listen, when you were talking to our producer, Charlie, I mean, he told you that we wanted you to pick games, and he said, you know, that you don't know anything.
No, I really don't know that much about football.
And neither do we, and we're not going to, and we would never ask you, you know, like technical stuff, like, you know, what's the 3-4 zone BS?
That I don't know anything about any of that stuff.
Totally, you know, totally irresponsible reasons for picking the games. That's what we want from you.
But we got five. Oh, and you know what, Jimmy? Let me just put you on hold for a second.
All right.
I don't want to... He'll hear this, but I don't want to do it to his face. All right. Think I got something here.
All right, well, it's sponsorable. Here we go. Listen up. He'll appreciate this.
Was that sponsorable?
Well, I think since we interrupted our guest for it, you have to sponsor it.
Absolutely. That fart brought to you by www.egars.com.
Very good.
The hottest cigar site on the planet.
Let's get back on the line.
Hi, Jimmy.
Hey.
Hi.
No one appreciates fart comedy more than I do.
And I want to say something. Not a tape. A real fart from my ass.
Oh, I can tell.
A live fart.
You know what? The sound effect farts, it's always too much.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
That one was like a little bubble, a little something.
Yeah. And you'll be very proud of us. These are all sponsored. We actually have a client that, egars.com, the cigar site on the web that sponsors our
podcast. Oh, really? I thought it was a joke.
No, it's the real deal.
Oh, it's serious.
Oh, that's great. Let me tell you, if I got some kind of sponsorship every time I farted, I would be a zillionaire.
All right, let's pick these games. We have five games.
All right.
You
want to tell me which games?
Yeah, and they've been picked already. And,
right.
and I mean, you just tell us who you think. We'll go Don, Mike, and then Jimmy. The first game is Baltimore and Tennessee. I will take Tennessee.
Tennessee Titans, Jimmy?
Yeah, definitely. Titans are at home. Yeah.
Okay. Any irresponsible reason for that?
I can't get used to this Baltimore Ravens. It still doesn't sound like a real football team.
I like that. Very good.
Not that Titans does either, but it fits a little better.
Those are the gayest uniforms, though, the Tennessee uniforms.
Yeah, they are,
right?
With the big T on them. Yeah.
Yes. Seattle at Jacksonville. Oh, I know why. We're only picking this game because we're on in Seattle.
That's it. Absolutely.
Jacksonville.
You like Jacksonville at home. Jimmy, what do you like?
Jacksonville at home, yes. Yeah. Seattle's been a huge disappointment.
All right, big game. Green Bay, Tampa Bay.
Yeah, I like Tampa Bay there. Definitely. Another Tampa Bay is at home.
Any irresponsible reason?
Let's see. No. Keyshawn Johnson thinks I'm funny, so that's why I picked that.
There you go.
I'm going to go the other way. I'm going to take Green Bay to beat the Tampa.
Green Bay comes back with a win after their great Monday night game with with Antonio Freeman doing that big thing.
Okay, then we have two more games. New York Jets at Indianapolis. I take the Jets, Mike.
I will also take the New York Jets. How about you, Jimmy?
I go with the Colts there.
Okay.
I think the Colts are they do.
Any irresponsible reason?
I got to tell you, overall, I can never buy into Vinny Testaverde being a winner in any situation.
Very good.
I used to live in Tampa, and I go, Vinny Testaverde, what? He was always just a huge, huge representation of a guy who should have been a winner that wasn't.
And the last game is the Monday night game, Oakland at Denver. I'll take Denver.
I'm taking Denver, too. That's an upset,
Oh, is it really? Is Oakland favorite that game?
Yeah, the Raiders are favorite.
See, look at that. You know more than we do.
There you go.
Which does not say a lot.
No, that much.
Jimmy, listen, we are giant fans of your appearances on Fox.
Thank you, I appreciate it.
Keep up the great work. Thanks for all those honest answers about the guys on Fox. I thought that was hysterical.
Oh, good. I'm sure they'll come back to haunt me, but who cares?
And keep busting their balls.
That's right.
One final thing. This is just very inside. This is just for Mike and I.
Okay.
Is Gene Baxter the most asexual person you've ever met in your life?
He is an android.
Thank you.
Perfect. There's no question
about it. You obviously worked with him.
Thank you, Jimmy.
All right, take care.
See you later. Bye-bye. Jimmy Kimmel.
That last thing was a radio guy that we've all worked with.
Jimmy Kimmel used to be on his radio show on K-Rock out in Los Angeles.
Absolutely.
And I'm pretty sure that when Gene Baxter takes his pants off, it's like a G.I. Joe.
Yeah, and completely like, with more kind of like smooth. Somebody's armor all them.
Smooth.
Shiny.
Smooth. All right, thank you, Jimmy Kimmel. I'm a giant fan of him. He's funny.
He's great.
His bits are good. When we come back... Oh, Mike, we've not even gotten to the meal part of your meal with Tom Gavin.
Yes, filled with lots of awkward silence.
How about three more words?
Oh, good. Very good.
How about three more words? Buzz.
His.
Mike.
Filthy.
I can only use one word, but I want to use two.
I think use two if you want. 12 and 13.
Is filthy, boil-ridden.
Hyphenated, that's one word.
That's one word, yeah.
Boil-ridden. Okay, those are your three new words for the trip to Tampa. Is filthy, boil-ridden. And I know you now have a message for us. Too bad Jimmy Kimmel's not here to hear this. Give it to you.
Thank you very much.
www.egars.com, the hottest cigar site on the planet. You must have bad farts today because you have that citrus spray in here today. You got bad ones today?
Absolutely.
You know what
horrible.
That is? Those are Ruby Tuesday farts.
Yes, that my chalabia or whatever I have.
Chalabia. We will be right back.
This is the Dawn and Mike Show.
The rush to escape the city is on, and motorists race to beat the tangle of traffic found around the Bay Bridge at the start of every Memorial Day weekend.
Oh, it's okay until you hit this stinking bridge. Eight lanes and you still gotta wait.
Toll booths look like starting lines as city residents make their way towards Sun and Surf. Some motorists say heading out a little early paid off.
Usually in Annapolis, you can't get through there after about 4 o'clock. So we thought if we hit a little earlier, we'd make it without getting too much traffic. It looks okay.
And local radio personalities Don and Mike sent an emissary to provide motorists with a little entertainment.
Look at me! I'm Robbie! Happy Memorial Day, man! Have a good one!
For those who serve... The Don and Mike Show.
Hey, that's really very true today.
It's Veterans Day.
Right. Look at me. Those are the good old days.
Absolutely.
We used to dress him up in a big diaper.
big bra, that big afro wig.
Remember those green shorts he used to wear?
Yeah, his leisure suit color shorts he had.
He was a lot bigger back then, too.
He sure was. Bob, those are the good old days with Rob A. Spiewak.
Wonderful times.
Listen, we have a contest going here. Fax in your entry as to why your family should have an early Thanksgiving dinner with Mr. 40 and Shiloh from 2expos.com. Fax us a letter telling us why your family would like this. We're going to have it catered upstairs in our conference room on Tuesday, November 21st. The whole thing broadcast live on the show.
Right.
We accept up to 25 people in the party. Turkey, all the trimmings, all that stuff. Mr. 40 and all of his 40s. And Shiloh performing a giant sex show.
Wonderful.
In the middle of the table, right as the meal is being finished.
What better Thanksgiving, huh? Exactly.
So if you think your family is right, fax us a letter and tell us why. Our fax number is 800-636-6410. Here's one of the representative letters we received already today.
Wonderful.
Dear Don and Mike, I'm in a family that's a real turkey of a family. Mom had two girls and five boys. Mom, widow. Linda, single. Gary, single. Peggy, separated. Dwayne, divorced. Mm. David, single. Ramey, divorced. Kevin, divorced.
Mm-hmm.
With exes and other half-children over 21, and mom's new boyfriend, the amount of people is 23.
Fantastic.
Great. Hope you will supply a metal detector at the door for safety.
Interesting.
Right, let me just give this guy a quick call and see if he's on the line.
He should.
Because even though it's a contest open to everybody, I mean, you know, this is a good group of people.
Absolutely.
We could have our winning family already.
Very exciting. We wanted a big family, all adults. This seems to qualify.
We could also include past live-ins for an additional six.
Past live-ins. Hope they're home.
Huh? Yes, hello, is Gary there? Hello, is Gary there?
Hello, can you hear us? Why am I hearing an echo in here?
Is trying to work.
All right, very good.
Hold on a second.
Okay. Can you hear that?
Yeah,
there's an echo. Something like in this, there's a speaker with a little delay coming through this studio. Now it's gone. Okay, Rob got it.
Center.
Yes, hello, is Gary there?
Speaking.
Gary, Don and Mike show.
Hi, Gary.
Hi, how you doing?
Hi, Gary. Hope you don't mind. You're on the air.
Oh, that's fine with me.
Received your letter.
Yes, sir.
Your fax. It was, incidentally, one of the first 10 faxes we received.
Uh-huh.
This group, including your mom and all of the other siblings and cousins and everybody, could they all be together in one room on Tuesday, November 21st?
Well, I wrote the facts out and without talking to everybody, but I will try to confirm that.
All right, well, if you confirm that, we'll put you on our list of maybe families.
Okay.
And then fax us back, let us know how many would be interested, and then you're halfway there.
Okay. And how about the obligation of you guys putting up a metal detector for it, sir?
No, I did read that, and
why would you need a metal detector, sir?
Well, it's probably an ex-wife or an ex-girlfriend or something that may be a little hostile.
Do you think maybe packing heat?
A
metal plate in their head, maybe.
I think we could do without the exes or the past live-in lovers.
Okay.
Yeah, and probably just people that are currently involved in the family activities.
Okay. Right. Like, I know you're right, your mom, widow, well, she could bring her boyfriend.
Right.
And then Linda, who's single with one child, for she'll leave the child. Gary, who's single, and all the others who are divorced and separated.
Hello, Linda?
They could all just come on their own.
Okay.
All right, well good. Hold on, please.
Okay, no problem.
We'll get some information from you.
Thank you.
That's the first one we read that caught our eye.
Sure. And maybe the next time we talk to him, we can talk to him about the way he talks.
If you if you're interested, our fax number is 800-636-6410. And of course, this gives us the first chance to play this.
Happy fucking Thanksgiving from the Don and Mike Show.
That's something we only have the pleasure of playing for you once a year.
That puts me in the holiday spirit.
All right, so get the faxes in. Thank you, Robbie. Thank you, Lisa. Now, Mike and Tom, at lunch today.
Yeah, when we last left the tape, we were getting into the tedious part of the lunch, at least for me. I found that conversation comes hard with Tom Gavin, and, you know, we'd opened his gift, his wonderful little...
his spelling toy gift.
Alphabert. You know, the reading robot.
If I may offer counterpoint, Mike, it's really fine, and I'd like the listener to take a mental image and a note that at certain points Tom doesn't really reply to you.
Right.
He just repeats what you say, and I think that's
quite
charming.
Yes.
I think it's most excellent.
All right, let's go back to the lunch now. Mike and Tom, today at Ruby Tuesday, Mike paying off the Erection Day bet. Here we go.
Yes.
How's your Diet Coke?
Good.
All right, very good. All right, we're going to close this up now.
See you later.
And you can take that home with you, all right?
See you later.
You like your present?
Yep.
All right. Okay, Tom, so we're waiting for our food now. You're getting fried shrimp.
Fried shrimp and
what?
Steak.
Steak, yes, steak and fried shrimp. Hey, that'll make for a nice BM later, right, Tom?
Yes.
How were you? Did you have a BM today?
Last night.
Last night, not today?
No.
How was it last night?
It came out runny. Because
you're a good lunch companion, Tom. I'll tell you that right now. I'm gonna have a little sip of my Diet Coke, okay?
Yes, go ahead, Mike.
Thank you. I'm gonna put the microphone down here. Don't touch it. All right.
Go ahead, Mike.
Where's Charlie and them at? Back to the station?
What's that, Tom?
Where's Charlie and them?
Back to the station?
Charlie and, yeah, they're all back. You can blow your nose?
Yeah.
Go ahead, give a good blow. That's good. Fantastic job. Hey, well, listen, it's your birthday party. Cheers.
Cheers, Mike.
Cheers, fantastic. Let me check the time, okay? Not that I'm anxious. Hey, 2 minutes afternoon.
Yeah, 2 minutes afternoon.
That's fantastic. Well, what do you want to talk about?
Where's Mr. 40 at?
Mr. 40? I don't know, Tom. He doesn't follow us around.
Oh, he doesn't? Like me. I follow you all around, like,
Do you, Tom?
Yeah, the Las Vegas style shows and...
Yes. And what?
Where's Charlie?
Hey, Tom, can you spell birthday?
B-A-T-H-D-A-Y.
There you go, birthday. We ask you to spell birthday a lot, don't we?
Yeah.
Still haven't learned it, have you?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. So I guess your fried shrimp will be coming out any time now, Tom.
Yeah.
All right. Terrific. Well, you know, I had everything planned, and I kind of figured we'd be at maybe 20 minutes into this lunch by now.
Where's Charlie at?
Charlie Broyhill?
Yeah, Charlie's thing Stagawack.
Charlie who?
Stagawack.
What was that?
Where's Charlie Stagawack?
You mean Charlie Stewang Stabilak?
Yeah, where's Charlie at?
He's right here, Tom.
Oh, now. Hey, I was
now,
still in time. You know, we had
now to... we hit a real low for Mike. Because now you're at a public restaurant.
You should have seen the look on his face, Don. He was overjoyed.
With Tom, and now...
He wanted Charlie, and I gave him
like
Charlie. He wanted Charlie.
He's right here, Tom. Wee! Yes, sirree. How you doing, Tom?
Good, how you doing?
I'm fine. What do you want for lunch?
He right now is grinning.
Bacon.
Fried shrimp.
Fried shrimp.
He loves Charlie.
You like Charlie, Tom?
Yes, I do.
Charlie likes you, Tom.
Charlie likes me.
Charlie likes you.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Okay, don't yell. Can I talk like me now?
Yeah.
That's great. All right. Do you like your present?
Yes.
Hey, you know, maybe they'll sing happy birthday to you later.
Yeah, they will.
Wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah.
Hey, how come the food's not here yet?
I don't know.
Maybe because it's not even 5 afternoon yet.
Not 5 afternoon yet.
Do you like the restaurant?
Yes, I do.
That's terrific.
Right down the street from the station.
Well, this would be the dull time, so I'm going to stop the tape for just 1 second. Is that okay, Tom?
Go ahead.
Hey, here's our waiter, Anthony. Hi, Anthony.
Hey, Anthony.
Hi.
How you doing?
Tom, would you like a little something to snack on while you wait for that? Some bread or something?
Yes.
Bread is the staple of life.
What kind of bread do you have?
It's brown.
Brown bread? Good. That's good.
You like brown bread, Tom?
Yeah.
What else do you like that's brown, Tom?
Nothing.
How are your shorts today? What are you wearing, Tom? Boxers or briefs?
Briefs.
Briefs?
Yes.
Do you always wear briefs? What brand?
Tough question. What kind are they?
Well, yeah, what kind? Like, what kind are they?
Stumped in my bed.
Your brand of briefs. Is this a difficult question?
Poof.
Poof?
Yeah, they're...
Are they Fruit of the Loom?
Yeah, Fruit of the Loom.
Oh, they are Fruit of the Loom?
Yeah.
That was Poof. Poof. Poof was Fruit of the Loom.
Poof.
Till we explained it. And the chicks are looking at you again, Tom. You want to wave at them?
Yeah.
Yeah, the chicks. Go take a look at them. Say hi.
There you go.
He blew him a kiss.
What was that? What was the...
He had to turn around completely in the booth because they were in back of it. Can I hear that again? Because I want to hear that sound again.
Rewind that, please.
That's the sound he made when he turned around to look at the... I heard that on the tape, but I hadn't heard that when we were doing it.
Okay, you got it, Robbie?
Yeah, go ahead.
Here we go.
Kind, like what kind are they? Your brand of grease. Is this a difficult question?
Poof.
Poof?
Yeah, they're...
Are they Fruit of the Loom?
Yeah, Fruit of the Loom.
Oh, they are Fruit of the Loom?
Yeah.
Hey, the girls, the chicks are looking at you again, Tom. You want to wave at them?
Yeah.
Yeah, the chicks. Go take a look at them. Say hi.
There you go. We're having some fun now, aren't we, Tom?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Jeez. Well, Tom.
Yeah.
I guess your bread's going to be coming out pretty soon.
Yeah. Do you want to have some, too?
No, I really don't, Tom. I'm on kind of a diet. Hey, Tom, look what's here. Anthony just brought bread.
But you, too, I think.
Yeah, but you can have some, too.
Yeah.
Let's get the sound of you eating your bread. Take a big bite.
There we go.
All right. Good. Is that good? That's a real pretty sight. I don't mind telling.
How's your bread?
Good.
Like bread?
Yes, I do.
Do you eat lots of bread? Do you eat lots of bread, Tom?
No, I don't.
You don't? What's your favorite food? Don't choke. Please, God, don't choke. Because I will not be giving you mouth to mouth. Blow your nose again. That's great. You got a little cold, Tom?
A little one.
Okay, you'll understand then if we don't shake hands, right?
Right.
That's terrific. I'm going to have a sip of my Coke. You want to hold the microphone for a little bit? All right.
Now, you can talk into it, Tom. Go ahead, talk. This is the Tom Gavin Show right now.
Yeah, this is the Tom Gavin Show here. And I'm going to take a sip of my Coke.
All right, Tom, I'm surprised you didn't have a beer. You have beers when you come to Las Vegas-style shows, don't you?
Yeah.
Okay. Pretty day, huh? Kind of windy outside.
Yeah, pretty windy outside.
Pretty windy outside.
Pretty windy outside. And
it's windy outside.
Yeah, it's windy outside because...
Very much so.
The doctor put me on blood pressure pills, and that's why...
The doctor put you on blood pressure pills?
Yeah, because I'm drinking Diet Coke now.
Oh, okay. I explain.
He did put me on blood pressure pills to...
So your blood pressure be a little lower?
Yeah.
So Diet Coke makes your blood pressure high?
Low.
Okay. It makes it low. Hey, look, some napkins from Anthony. Thank you, Anthony.
Thank you, Anthony.
All right. Hey, here comes the manager again. How you doing?
Good night, there. How's everything over here? Good. Anthony taking care of you?
Good.
Anthony?
What did Tom just scream?
He just went, good!
He did that a couple of times.
Take care of you all right?
Yes.
Very good. Very good.
That's great.
That's great.
Everybody's having a good time. We're having a terrific time today. One thing during lunch, I wasn't sure what eye to look in.
Oh, yeah, because he's got the...
Wandering, you know.
He's got the wandering.
Yeah, focus pretty much on the left one.
Listen, let me give three more words right now.
All right,
right in the middle of this, just to make sure people are listening to the whole show.
Yeah. Okay.
Mike, you want to go first?
Rectum.
Buzz?
Was.
What?
No. Read the whole story. Wait a minute. Hold on.
I think that might be a completed sentence there. We can complete sentences in this.
There was a period earlier.
No,
there wasn't.
Oh, there wasn't?
No.
Oh. Oh, okay. That's where I went wrong then. I thought we put in a period.
Where'd you think the period was?
Do you want me to say?
Yeah, say the word.
After rancid.
No.
Okay.
How about a word, Buzz?
All right. Starting a new sentence then.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, I do. I forgot.
Never mind. I'll take it over.
Okay. Thanks. I'm not sure where you're headed now.
Okay.
And reaching.
So two words?
Yeah. I took Buzz's word there.
Mm.
Okay. So your three words there are rectum and reaching.
Okay.
Okay. There you go. Now back to the tape. That makes sense to you over there, KOB?
I'm still working on it, but so far so good.
I mean,
yeah, I know. And
it's a long
and
sentence.
Reaching.
Right.
Yeah, right.
We're starting a new little addendum to the story.
Yes, we are.
Rectum finished the last sentence.
Yes. Yes, but there was no need for a period after the word rectum, since these stories are generally just giant run-on sentences.
Absolutely.
Okay. Okay, back to the tape with Tom and Mike.
See if he gets more autographs.
You want to sign more autographs? I don't think there's anyone here that wants your autograph, Tom.
Philip, before you came in, Philip came in and talked to me.
Who?
Philip Wallington.
Who's Philip?
His friend that was there with
him. He's a friend of the...
friend who sat at the bar
show.
And stared at us for the entire time.
Are you still going over that story?
I am. It's a very long sentence.
I know it is, but does it make sense to you, though?
Well, I understand it, yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I just looked over this on bus studying, like he was studying up for a test.
Yes, I am.
We're playing the tape, and Buzz is still over there, actually scratching his head, going... Okay.
You got it now?
Yeah.
Good.
Okay, here we go, back to the tape.
He's a friend of the show?
Yeah, he listens to me on the show all the time.
He listens to you on the show?
Yes.
Well, that's wonderful. You have friends everywhere, don't you, Tom?
Yeah. Like you.
That's terrific.
Like you. Charlie, Don.
Yes, all of us, right?
Yeah.
That's wonderful, Tom.
And call taker Lisa,
yes, everybody's having a wonderful time.
Yeah.
So you signed an autograph for some hot chicks today, Tom.
Yeah, you know, I think I knew that might be.
Well, that's good, Tom, but we don't need to say that, okay?
That might be the...
Who?
The ones that... I think it's Shiloh and Shiloh.
No, it's not Jenna and Shiloh. No, it's not.
See, I thought he really knew him for a second. You know, and I didn't want him, like, mentioning any more of his friends.
So it happened upon them by accident.
Yeah.
Hey, there's our manager, Scott, again.
Hey, Scott. Hey, how you doing? What'd you get for your birthday, buddy?
Tell him what you got, Tom.
A spelling bee.
Wow, that's nice.
Thanks.
Tom's having bread.
How's the bread, Tom?
Good.
Why don't you have another bite of bread, Tom? All right. Why don't you tell Scott, the manager, how good the bread is?
It's good, Scott.
It's good? You like it?
Yeah.
You ever expect to have a famous person like Tom Gavin in your restaurant?
No, sir. This is a first for me.
I just want you to know, Scott, there are a lot of restaurants we could have gone to, but we chose your fabulous Ruby Tuesdays.
Very nice.
Would you like to give yourself a plug? Go ahead.
Fairfax Court Ruby Tuesdays. We're glad you're here, Tom.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Scott.
And what's the special day for Tom today, Scott?
It's his birthday today. We're going to go and give him a sundae and sing happy birthday to him, if that's okay.
That's great. How old are you, Tom?
I'm going to be 41.
No, Tom, you are 41 today. We're pretending, right?
Yeah.
How old are you today?
41.
41. Fantastic. Thank you, Scott.
Hey, thank you.
All right. What's hey, Tom, you mind if I check the time?
Yeah. 10 after 12.
10 after. And I'm leaving at about 27 minutes after the hour.
Yes.
Hopefully our food will be done by then.
I hope our food will be done by then.
You're going to have to eat really fast and sloppy.
Yes.
Oh, God. Okay. Well, this is fun. Hey, that was a hot babe, huh, Tom?
Yep, that was hot.
Look at all these hot waitresses in here.
Yeah, look at those hot waitresses around
here. He's repeating what I'm saying.
Well, whatever you say, he just says.
That's when the conversation...
So he initiated no conversation.
At the very beginning, I don't know. I don't remember. It's all a blur.
he'll like...
What?
He'll like lunch with us.
Happy birthday, buddy.
Thank you.
Hey, somebody just wished you a happy birthday, Tom.
Thank you.
Say thank you. Can't hear you.
Thank you!
All right. No, not that loud. Not that loud. Not that loud, Tom.
That's another one where everybody turned around. Now he laughs.
Oh, you're having a good time, aren't you?
Yeah.
You like your present?
Yes, I do.
When he really laughs, when he really laughs, he puts his hands together and he looks like Buddha and he just goes... And he was really, really delighted.
Tom the Monster.
We're at the midway point of lunch, right?
You're out to eat at a public restaurant.
And he, when he said, service!
With Tom Gavin.
Little corner of heaven. It's a little warm in here. Are you sweating, Tom?
A little.
Yeah, it's a little warm. Have some more Diet Coke.
How's that? Good.
Very good. Can I hear some robot?
Robot.
Can I hear some of your other characters?
I go.
Can I hear your evil laugh? No, not that laugh. Ladies and gentlemen, we're here at Ruby Tuesdays. It's my bet payoff.
You're really tapped right now. I mean, you've run out of stuff to talk about with him.
I'm out. I'm done. I'm completely tapped. for the bulk of this lunch now.
I'll steal my pen here, guys. I apologize.
Thank you.
Hi, Avery.
That's not Anthony. That's the man. That's Scott. How's the cold, Tom?
Good.
You want to blow your... Are you all right?
Yes.
You want to blow your nose?
And he had one napkin that he used. It might have been a handkerchief that he had, and he kept putting it back in his pocket and bringing it out and blowing.
His hanky.
He had a runny nose through most of lunch. Yeah, we're having some fun now.
How's
life? Want to play with your speller again? Here, let's play
we
with your speller.
We actually try to use
Watch
the speller
out, don't
now.
Knock
we actually
over.
Try to really use the speller, and we got more into it this time.
Let's open this thing up. There we go. I think it opens when you touch it.
These letters are blends.
Wait, don't break it.
Press a button. Let's learn before and after. What letter comes after the letter D?
What letter comes after the letter D, Tom?
F.
Let's see if you're right. Let's go to F, okay?
Let's try again. What letter comes after the letter D?
Let's try again, Tom. That wasn't right. What comes after the letter D?
A, B, C, D.
You're a little burp, Tom. You're not going to puke, are you?
No.
What comes after the letter D? Try another guess, another letter.
F.
F. Let's try it again.
That's right.
Let's see. Let's say, yeah. Why don't you press the letter F, Tom?
What letter comes after the letter D?
You press it, Tom. What letter comes after the letter D?
Go ahead.
Go ahead, try it.
You got it right. Who's that?
These are the letters. Any letter. Go ahead.
The letter E comes after the letter D.
You got it.
Yeah.
Way to go, Tom. Well, I'll try it again.
Yeah.
All right, try it again.
Let's try a new one.
Let's try a new one.
Wait a minute. What letter comes before the letter O?
What letter comes before the letter O?
Let's try again.
O does not come before the letter O, Tom. Well, you know what, Tom? We can do this later.
Let's close it up.
You did very well.
See you later. Bye-bye.
I'll put it next to you.
That's what it says when you close it.
All right, I see it's now 13 minutes after the hour of 12 noon here, Ruby Tuesdays in Fairfax.
Where the heck are
you? Yeah, you know, the service is terribly slow today. I wish they'd get it here. Hey, here comes a nice waitress. Hi, what's your name?
Brandy.
Brandy, would you like to say hi to the birthday boy, Tom Gavin?
Hi, Tom.
Hi, Brandy. How you doing?
Good.
Good.
Well, that was a wonderful little exchange, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That was terrific. You having fun?
Yes, I am.
Very good. Our food should be coming any minute now. Because, hey, Tom, you're not going to believe this. I'm running out of time.
Oh, you are?
Yeah. I've been here for about 20 minutes.
We can stay until 12:40.
No, Tom, I'm sorry. I was drinking my Diet Coke. No, we can't stay till 12:40. You can.
Oh.
You can stay here as long as you want, but I'm going to have to leave relatively soon.
You got to leave and go back to the station.
Oh, yes, Tom, absolutely.
Get this edited and get it on the air today.
Oh, yes, Tom, we're going to put this on the air today.
Yes, and in the tape, too.
All right, Tom, is there anything you'd like to say?
If anybody's out there listening to Dr. Mike, they can call in at 702.
What is this?
1067.
I gave him a chance
to do his
little
radio. Hey, John, here comes
our food. Hey, here comes our food. Fantastic. Look at that. The food's coming. Look at that. All right. We have the fish for me.
Tilapia for you.
Tilapia, yes.
And we have steak and shrimps. Shrimps for you.
Thank you, man. Right. Oh, good. Here's our food, man.
Yeah, there's a... Tom, you want me to cut that steak for you?
Please.
All right, here. Hold the microphone.
Tom, how you feel about a little 81 on 67? 967?
No.
No way.
Yeah.
So are you cutting his food now?
I'm cutting his steak.
Hey, it looks good, huh, Tom?
Mmm.
He's diving right into his steak. He wanted his steak.
It looks good, Mike.
Yes, it does, Tom.
He used to have a mustache and a beard.
Yes, I did.
He shaved it off.
Yes, I did.
Here, I cut some of your meat for you, Tom. Go ahead and eat up.
Good. Where's
your silverware? Here it is, Tom. There's your knife and silverware.
Good.
No, don't hit the plate.
That's good.
I was thinking, I hit rock bottom last week when I had to wear that diaper in Manhattan.
I know.
I don't know.
Here we go.
I don't know. This might be worse.
Close. It's the longest half hour of my life.
This might be worse. We have to do a break when we come back. Now, you do bring all the restaurant people over, too.
We come back. We finish eating. It just took an awful long time. We wait for Tom to get his ice cream sundae, and they all sing happy birthday to him.
We'll hear that when we come right back.
This is the Dawn and Mike Show.
We cut the chit-chat a-hole.
Soothing your severe buttock trauma. The Don and Mike Show.
You know, I know we're all over the place today. We got a million things going on, but we're getting faxes now of emails that people have sent to that douchebag Bob Levy.
Yeah.
Good. At the Washington Post. And I'm very impressed that they're all very well-written.
Very good.
Very articulate. One guy, Keith Ferguson, writes this, Don and Mike, I emailed Bob Levy and he emailed me back.
Very good.
So here are the transcripts of the email back and forth.
Good.
He writes, Bob Levy, Arbitron does not use the telephone to do their ratings, dummy. And Bob Levy writes back, I know, but many advertisers take radio listening surveys of their own on their own. That's what I suspect was going on during the phone call I wrote about today.
Yeah, but he made it sound like read the, yes, the opening sentence of his article says ratings.
Yes, let me read it to you
again. He didn't say anything about an advertiser survey.
Let me read it to you again. Just a moment. Hold on, what happened to it? Did I throw it away already?
You should have it over there. There it is. First page of comics. Keep going.
First page of comics. Sorry about that. If you have your doubts about the way in which radio ratings are compiled...
Bingo, there it is.
Okay.
Right there, ratings are compiled. That's what he's talking about.
Oh, he lied again.
Not advertising. Yeah, he lied again in the email.
If he suspects that that was an advertiser taking a radio listener survey...
Right.
Then that's absolutely 100% different than the way he starts his column.
Handling it in a real manly way.
If you have your doubts about the way in which radio ratings are compiled... And I have many.
Right.
Consider the conversation that Peter Wolf had the other day.
Yeah. I mean, we're not morons, Bob, okay? And your email does nothing to clear this up.
That falsely inflates the shares of other stations. That, in turn, makes the Don and Mikes of the Dial think they have the world on a string.
The shares, Bob. You're using share, you're using rating, and
sir.
Then you're saying an advertising survey.
Right.
That's crap, and that doesn't hold any water.
Let me
sure.
see.
He hasn't answered my email, by the way.
Let me see. Dear Bob, I want to express my disappointment with the poor job you did in reporting the facts concerning radio ratings. Unless you retract those statements and apologize to Don and Mike, I'll be diverting my money I normally send to Kids for Camp to another organization represented by people who are honest and treat others with dignity and respect.
Bingo.
That's a good one.
Excellent.
Dear Bob, in response to your article in the November 10 edition of the Post, I found the amount of false information in your article to be very disturbing. It became quite apparent you did little or no research in the latter half of your article. Arbitron radio ratings are not conducted by the marginally literate or those untrained cold callers with an incomplete list of radio stations. This is an outrageous accusation on your part against a company that's been in the business of radio ratings for over 50 years. Additionally, to say it falsely inflates the shares of other stations is grossly inaccurate. No one listens to WETA. Get over it. Check your facts. Spend more than 15 minutes a day cutting and pasting a letter into your column and recounting a boring, inaccurate story. You could have at least gone to www.arbitron.com to get a little information. Additionally, if you want to keep what's left of your integrity, you might want to think about a retraction.
Hey, now that is a nice letter.
Beautiful.
Yep. And here's a guy, put him on hold, Ronnie, on line six, a guy who says he's also received a reply via email from Bob Levy. Hello, Matt.
Yeah, Don.
Yes, what'd you write to him?
I wrote, you need to report facts, not fiction. Learn to report the truth, and maybe someday you will have a following that's half as big as Don and Mike's.
What?
Any true journalist would print a retraction and state the facts concerning the ratings as compared to the survey, which you led people to believe were the real ratings.
Ah. What did he write back to you?
He wrote, I average 1.2 million readers a day, which is many times more than what Don and Mike have. So why would I be jealous of them?
Wrong.
By
Once
the way,
again, he shows what an idiot he is.
Yes, he does. By the way, I said nothing whatsoever about Don and Mike's ratings, nor did I suggest that phone surveys are legitimate ways to gather ratings.
Wait a minute, hold on. He said nothing about Don and Mike's ratings. Let me read you the quote in his column.
Oh, I heard
it. It falsely inflates the shares of other stations. That, in turn, makes the Dons and Mikes of the Dial think they have the world on a string.
What kind of game is he playing? You know, you're not bright enough, Bob. Hey, you ought to just eat it.
Levy, listen. Dave Barry, Bob Green wannabe, 1.2 million readers. I'd like to see documentation of that because we have 6.5 million listeners to this show, and that's documented via Arbitron.
Bingo.
The ratings company.
Mm-hmm. There's no schmuck in Wichita reading his column either.
Oh, you're from Wichita?
Yeah.
Oh, even better.
That's fantastic.
Even better.
Well, obviously, he's handling it like a real stand-up guy.
Let me hear his response one more time to you.
Okay, it says, I average 1.2 million readers a day, which is many times what Don and Mike average.
Wrong.
So why would I be jealous of them? By the way, I said nothing whatsoever about Don and Mike's ratings,
Wrong.
Nor did I suggest that phone surveys are legitimate ways to gather ratings information. They are used to sample viewer habits for advertisers. That's what I suspect was going on with the phone call.
Oh, listen. Anybody out there listen? Well, Robbie.
Do you get the impression that maybe the Post has a circulation of 1.2 million? And I know they're not all running to get to Bob Levy's column.
Right.
I guarantee you that.
Yeah, exactly.
Bob, anytime you want to stack up your readership versus our listenership, and I'm not even talking about nationally.
Yeah.
I'm just talking about locally in D.C.
Absolutely.
Let's do it.
Yeah, we'll have that contest any day of the week, Bob.
Let's do it. I'm telling you something. The guy is misrepresenting facts today.
And he's handling it like every a-hole that works at that paper, where they just don't admit they screwed up. You are a liar, and you're dumb.
Maybe
there you go.
He confused himself with Garfield.
Everybody should continue to write this guy. His email address is Levy, L-E-V-E-Y-B, okay? It's one word, L-E-V-E-Y-B.
Any fool that read that article knows that you were talking about the ratings. You say it right there. You talk about shares. I mean, we're not talking about an advertiser survey, Bob. Come on now.
Levy B.
God.
L-E-V-E-Y, letter B, at washpost.com. And again, what gave us the douche chills today was this column this guy wrote in the Post that says,
just slamming us for no good reason.
Right. If you have your doubts about the way in which radio ratings are compiled,
radio ratings,
and I have many, consider the conversation Peter Wolf had the other day. And then he explains a conversation that a guy got from a radio station research group.
Or an advertiser survey, which he's trying to make it sound like he was talking about that. Well, no. If you read that article, he starts it out talking about the ratings.
Clearly.
And then he says shares, and he mentions our name. So, I mean, that's referring to the ratings.
He writes, when polling companies pay cold callers $6 an hour when they don't train them, when they obviously don't give them a full list of radio stations in the market, their credibility is lower than the numbers on the left side of your dial. The shame of it is that Peter's vote for WETA will not be recorded. That not only depresses WETA's true market share.
Now, market share. Let me make this very clear. When you're talking about a market share, that is a term that's used when you're talking about ratings.
It falsely inflates the shares of other stations.
Bingo.
That in turn makes the Dons and Mikes of the Dial think they have the world on a string. Listen, if that ain't a slam, I don't know what is. This dumbass writes a column today. The first line is, if you have your doubts about the way in which radio ratings are compiled.
Bingo.
That's what he's writing about.
That's the opening sentence in his article.
And the last part of the article, after he blasts what obviously is, I bet he's right, some $6 an hour slug who's doing research for some company,
mm-hmm.
he devalues the ratings that we have actually garnered on this show.
That's it.
From a real ratings company.
Right. Don't let him try to worm out of this. It's very clear what he was trying to do. It is very clear.
I mean, really, you should email him back, everybody. I don't want
now because of the emails he's sending to people, it's much more sinister because now he's trying to squirm out of it when, you know, when he's been called on it, when it was obvious what he was trying to do. So he does know about the radio ratings.
Yeah.
He does know how they're compiled. And what he was doing was misinforming everybody and trying to BS them.
What a prick. That in turn makes the Dons and Mikes of the Dial think they have the world on a string. All we've done, see what he's implying is that we have good ratings, we talk about it, and the reason we have good ratings
is because there's some $6 an hour employee out there that's doing a half-assed job.
Bingo.
Right.
That is the focus of what he's writing.
So don't try to backtrack. We're on to you, Bob. We know exactly what you're trying to do now.
It's not true. And read the first line of the article. Okay. If you have your doubts about the way in which radio ratings are compiled.
Right.
And if hang up and listen.
And if you're talking about your wonderful 1.2 million circulation at the Washington Post, do you think you get this many emails on a day when we're not talking about you?
And Bob, how about some documentation? Because I have documentation of the listenership to this show. It's called the Arbitron Ratings Company. And Bob, I know you know about it because you tried radio and you failed. You failed miserably at WRC and you failed miserably at WMAL. And I know you failed at those stations because you could not garner an Arbitron rating point. You friggin' idiots. The guy worked in radio. The guy got canned from MAL because he couldn't get numbers.
And Rob brings up a good point when he says the, you know, he's talking about the circulation of the Washington Post.
I assume
that's what he's talking about too, Rob. You know, not necessarily. You'd have to break that down, see how many people are actually reading his column.
Oh, there's no way to find that out.
Yeah, no way.
I mean, unlike with us, it's very easy. You go to the Arbitron ratings book, you open up 3 to 7 p.m.
Right.
It's right there in black and white.
If you want credibility, you have to go to another grand journalist, Rudy Martsky, who says his column is the second most popular thing in USA Today after the weather map. And you know that's not true either. So.
Well, Rudy's got more credibility. Well, almost more.
Well, everybody should continue to write this guy.
Amen.
I mean, this is not the first time that Bob Levy has slammed us.
No.
And frankly, we've never gotten this upset before when he slams us, because it's just been his,
and the way Bob Levy is,
tight opinion.
Our opinion of him, I mean, it's just, it verifies everything I've always thought about this guy. This guy is trying to squirm out of this, doesn't want to face the music. He tried to mislead listeners, and he tried to mislead listeners. He led up to a little slam of us, and I believe that the entire article was designed to get that dig in on our show.
He's devaluing the fact that our show is rated number one, and Bob Levy, because you worked at WRC and failed, and because you worked at WMAL and failed, you know how the ratings work.
And you misled your readers. That's all there is to it.
That's why the first line of this is total bull-ass. If you have your doubts about the way in which radio ratings are compiled, hey, Bob Levy, you can't do 9 to noon on WMAL for a year and not know how the radio ratings are compiled.
Bingo.
Because the reason your sorry Bob Green wannabe ass was fired was because you couldn't get an Arbitron rating point.
Yeah, that's why it mystifies you, Bob.
Because you couldn't do it. But you know how the process works, Bob.
There we go.
Hey, Bob, and incidentally, cherry time slot you had on MAL between Harden and Weaver and Rush Limbaugh, and still, you effed it up.
There you go.
Think about that, Bob. You got Harden and Weaver as a lead-in, and you got Rush Limbaugh coming behind you, and you couldn't get a goddamn rating point to save your ass, which is why you got fired, because you couldn't get Arbitron ratings.
Bingo.
There's no mystery to Bob Levy about how these radio ratings are gotten.
No, absolutely not.
Kiss my ass. We do have the world on the string.
Bingo.
We do.
Hello.
Kiss my ass.
Yeah.
And send me those kids. I'll raise more money for those kids for camp than you, you pathetic piece of garbage. Eat my bung. Go ahead, Bob. Eat it.
Eat it good.
Eat
in a bad spot.
Right.
In the bad place.
Eat the bad place in my bung.
The very bad place.
The place where stuff comes out.
Oh, no.
Eat that part.
Wonderful.
Why don't you print that in your column? Go ahead.
Ooh, that'll make me look bad.
Ooh. And then he said, eat the bad part of my bottom.
Bung.
My bung.
Put that in the column. Take it upstairs to the fat man.
Right. Hello, Don and Mike show.
I just wanted to call because I work for a fairly large advertising agency in the Baltimore, D.C. area, and we advertise on the Don and Mike show and other JFK shows.
Thank you.
And the simple fact is if I call and get, as a PR person, get my client a mention on the Don and Mike show, it's going to carry far more weight, and the client is going to be much happier than a little crappy mention in his column.
Yeah.
Bingo. Thank you very much.
Listen, radio, so let me ask you another question, because I'm going to believe that you do work at an agency, because you seem to know how it works.
Uh-huh.
I don't know of any advertising agencies that do independent polling to find out what station is doing well or not. Don't they all go by the book, the Arbitron book?
I can tell you that as my client, as a fairly large advertiser, they hire no one to do that, whether it's either internally or through our agency. I've never heard of anybody doing that.
Yeah, I think he's wrong about that, too. I think what he's getting is you're getting radio stations to do it. They survey, they do their own in-house research. That's what radio stations do. And consulting companies for radio stations do that, but I haven't heard of the advertising.
Hey, Bob Levy, get over it. You tried to be a radio guy and you couldn't do it. You failed, and it pisses you off that we do have the world on a string.
Yeah, we don't mind you saying that our show sucks. You can say that, and we won't have a problem with it. Go ahead. Well, we'll have a problem with it. But you can do that all day long. Just don't misrepresent how the ratings are garnered.
If you have any doubts about the way in which radio ratings are compiled, I bet they didn't have any doubt how they were compiled at MAL when they fired your ass. Because you couldn't keep a goddamn share for 3 hours of the day.
Well, did you ever hear that show?
Yeah, not that it wasn't interesting listening. I'm Bob Levy. Say, here's the topic today. What do you got in your junk drawer? give me a call, because you know what? In the Levy household, we've got all kinds of stuff. Fishing wire.
Hey, that elephant memory is working for you now.
Spools of tape. That's the topic today on the Levy show. Jesus Christ. Kiss my ass. Please.
I think we've made our thoughts known.
Yeah.
Here you go. Here's typical Bob Levy. After he gets done writing about us today in his column.
Right.
Meanwhile, on U.S. Route 50 in Virginia, Barbara Munson of South Riding saw a great plate aboard an SUV. The plate was attached to an enormous, shiny Lincoln Navigator. It read, "Envy this." E-N-V this.
Oh, that's rich. That's rich. Let's share that around the water cooler.
Yeah.
Wonderful writing, Bob. That was worthy of print, you...
Oh, boy. Oh,
right. Yes, I know. I'm sorry.
That is typical Bob Levy.
That's Bob Levy all the way.
That's him.
Jeez. Mundane crap.
Worthless piece of garbage.
And then he uses it to get his little vendetta, his little dig, because he failed and we're succeeding.
We have the world on a string.
Number one.
We're number one, and it's documented. And it's documented by a company that you know, because it's a company that got you fired from two radio stations in town. Why don't you write that, Bob, Mr. Hey, I'm so naive about radio. I'm mystified by how radio works. Gee, Bob, why'd you get fired from WRC? Why'd you get fired from WMAL?
Please. Bob Levy. Lying piece of garbage. God, and it's such a gutless way to do it. And then to send the emails back to people, not just stand up and say, yeah, I was wrong. Of course, he can't say that, and he couldn't, tell us what the real truth is, which is what he's designing this to, in his own little mamby-pamby way, slam us without telling the truth.
Hey, Bob Levy Show for a Tuesday morning. This pothole situation in the district, it's crazy. Listen, here's what I'd be doing for the next 3 hours on WMAL. You call me up and tell me where the craziest pothole is in the district, okay? Your call's coming right up.
Riveting.
Yeah. Gee, I can't believe you got fired for that, Tom. Bob, I can't believe you got canned from MAL for that.
Where's the worst pothole? We'll be right back. Fantastic. Your call's coming right up on WMAL.
Hey, there's a nasty one out there on Wisconsin Avenue. Yeah. Just down past the National Cathedral on Massachusetts Avenue. There's a dandy one there. Oh, boy, I tell you, I was on 21st Street the other day. Have you seen that pothole? Whoa, man. Hey, there's a license plate that someone saw on a navigator. It says, envy this. Envy this.
Bob, leave you with you 10 before the hour.
Fantastic.
You got to be somewhere by the top of the hour. You got 10 minutes to get there. You better get going. And you know why you got canned from that, Bob? Because you couldn't get Arbitron ratings. And you know what the Arbitron ratings are. You know what the radio business is about. You know what it's about because you tried it and you failed. You lost. Nobody liked listening to you. Kiss my ass. We have the world on a string. We don't have the world on a string. We got the world on a rope.
Big rope. Big fat rope, like the kind that they tie boats up with.
Big gigantic rope.
Huge rope.
Please, everybody, continue to email this douchebag. LevyB@washpost.com. And when you email him now, please ask him about his failed radio career in Washington.
Wonderful.
On radio stations WRC and WMAL. And ask him then still if he doesn't... What was the line? Hold on. If you have your doubts about the way in which radio ratings are compiled... Gee, Bob, how could a guy who works at two legendary stations and managed to get fired from both of them, how could a guy who works at great stations like that not understand how the ratings are compiled?
Yeah, you know exactly how they're compiled, Bob.
And, Bob, you know how they're compiled, and you know that we're number one. And it kills you. It kills you.
And you're not standing up to what you tried to do there.
We're legit.
Plead ignorance, Bob. That's the way to really squirm out of this. Don't try to pretend you were saying something you weren't saying. Everybody knows it now.
Yeah, we're legit, Bob. Our ratings are legit. They're out there for everybody to see.
You're too legit.
Too legit to quit. We're not on the page next to Kathy and Baby Blues.
Yeah, wonderful choice location. The hard-hitting section of the paper.
Let me see. What is this? Dear Mr. Levy, I began to read the Post at the same time I voted as a conservative, blah, 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 I enjoy the Post. I'm writing to complain about your obvious slant against the nationally syndicated show that originates in D.C. The Don and Mike Show is far from being a venue for objective political commentary, but is, in its ribald fashion, we love that word, yeah. Ribald, highly entertaining. The primary reason for my not being a daily listener of Don and Mike is not I object to a material on the show, as I sometimes do, but I am a journalist and cannot often devote productive afternoon time to entertainment. I write two columns monthly in local publications in Reno, and I pride myself upon my ability to produce material that presents and maintains an air of objectivity and equality towards the subject matter, regardless of my personal feelings about the content. Mr. Levy, your recent comments about the popularity of Don and Mike seem to be entirely subjective. Worse than that, I read the column published in the 11/10 issue with some consternation, in that it is readily apparent that you were either making up facts about this show, about how this show gets and maintains its ratings, or you are woefully ignorant of how Arbitron ratings work. In the vernacular, Bob, that was... you're bad. In the future, I sincerely hope you'll regain your ability to produce columns that regard the facts as...
sacrosanct.
What, Robbie?
Sacrosanct. That means sacred.
God,
that's a nice, big, wonderful word for sacred.
That's a 25-cent word. God damn, that's a good one. And quit playing fast and loose with the ratings of radio talents that have shown their ability to keep the laughs, the ratings, and the bucks coming on a regular basis. That's pretty well written.
Yeah, excellent. Thank you very much. Who wrote that? That's great.
Good job.
A guy in Reno named...
Bill Schley.
Bill Schley.
Thanks, Bill. Very nicely done.
I didn't mention Arbitron in the column and wasn't referring to Arbitron. Many advertisers pay... Oh, okay, then here is the... Here's his response.
Oh, good.
This is Levy's response?
Right, yes.
Okay. I didn't mention Arbitron in the column and wasn't referring to Arbitron. Many advertisers pay for their own cold call surveys to sample radio habits.
Not true.
I'm sure that was the case with the call I wrote about today. By the way, columnists often take positions. I didn't and don't play loose with the facts, but I certainly do have a viewpoint. That's what I'm paid to have.
He is just a little wimp.
He never will own up to it.
No, he won't. You'll never get anything out of him.
No, he writes in his response to this guy, I didn't mention Arbitron in the column and wasn't referring to Arbitron.
But he was referring to the rating, clearly.
Clearly referring to the
rating.
The opening line of the column is...
There was nothing about survey. The word survey wasn't in there.
If you have your doubts about the way in which radio ratings are compiled...
That is what you said, Bob. Own up to it, buddy.
That's in the newspaper.
You were doing... It's two things, Bob. You were either misleading your listener, your readers, or you're an ignoramus when it comes to radio ratings. And we know that's not the truth because you worked at radio stations.
And you failed at radio. You couldn't get any ratings. You know how Arbitron works.
Right.
Please, kiss my ass. Kiss my ass. You couldn't get people to listen to your radio show when you were between Harden and Weaver and Rush Limbaugh. They can run a tone there and get a one share.
Hey, I want to thank everybody that's emailed this guy. You know, he deserves it, and you're doing a nice job.
Okay. Thank you. Bob Levens, please. You're garbage. You're worse than garbage. Go get in my garbage pail.
You got to say it like Lombardi. You're garbage.
No garbage. Time out. Got a break. Man, I'm hot. I'm hot.
Woo.
I got the world by a string.
Yes, you do.
Got the world by a rope.
It's like I got the Sinatra song playing in my head right now. I got the world on a string.
Yeah, right. We do, Bob, and it kills you. We will be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike, Jerry!
I didn't understand you, sir. I was right the first time. I don't understand you. Well, thank you, sir, whatever that was. I can't believe I paid for this guy to be here.
Under the direction of Andrew Blake, it's the Don and Mike Show.
All right, three more words for the story. Mike, why don't you go first?
Around.
Buzz.
His.
Scrotum.
Oh.
That might be the story. That might be it.
Well, he's got to find something, though.
Okay, let's keep going then.
Okay.
Go ahead. Pick it up at scrotum. He. Buzz.
Found.
There we go.
We might need two more words.
A.
All right.
You want to go ahead?
Yeah. Corpse.
Wow.
I don't know. They don't have to make sense.
That's excellent.
Wow, we got a lot of words there.
Mm-hmm.
In the story, this whole bunch of words now is, around his scrotum, he found a corpse.
Well, how about that?
It's just so whack. How about you, Mike? Hey, how you doing there? How about you? Hey, a corpse. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don. Hey, Mike. Hey, Buzz.
Hey, buddy.
I just wanted to mention that with Bob, he should be knowing how many callers that you guys do get now with everyone faxing him.
What?
Yeah, thank you. You know, hold on, let me...
He meant well.
Like, honey had a great point. She called me during the commercial, said she didn't want to be on the radio. But I love putting her on the radio. And she's the one who actually brought the whole... Levy thing to my attention today.
Hello?
Hi, honey.
Oh, boo, hold on. My radio's on.
Okay. I was actually driving carpool this morning, taking the kids to school, and she called and said, hey, Levy's on you again.
Right.
Oh, yeah, because she's a girl.
That's good.
She reads that part of the paper.
Right here.
Honey?
Yeah?
All right, you had a very astute statement about Bob Levy.
Oh, never mind, B. He wanted to talk to me. Well, no, and the reason I didn't want to call, you know, I'm a pacifist. But it just occurred to me while I was just stripping wallpaper and listening to you that he's bragging about his 1.2 million readers that you would think that some of them would have been listeners to his failed radio shows.
Yeah, good
that
point.
He would have. He had kind of a daily commercial in the Post for his radio shows that didn't...
Yeah, I mean, absolutely.
Yeah.
And you remember that, right, honey, when he was on MAL
of course.
On WRC?
Yes. Of course.
Right.
Was not the most stimulating.
Yeah, you have a column in a big paper. And,
And listen, I know you're married to me, so you can't be totally subjective. You got to be a little objective.
No, and most times I call you during the commercial to tell you to cool it.
But wouldn't you think that a guy who had worked at WRC and a guy who worked at WMAL and got fired because he had crappy ratings certainly would know how the Arbitrons work?
What I think it is, I really think it's denial, that it makes himself feel better for him not being successful, that quality like WETA and his show aren't as successful as you guys because ratings aren't done right. And he knows it doesn't make any sense, but he tells them that to make him feel better.
I agree.
That's right.
I guess so. Well, I guess, Bob, that's what it's like when you don't have the world on a string.
Mm-hmm. And we got the world on a string. Right now we're playing a yo-yo with it.
You do not have the world on a string.
No, we don't have that. But you know, we're saying that just to get his goat.
But we're just saying that because that's what he wrote, honey.
I know, but you are, I mean, you are successful. And it's not, and you know what? It was funny because I got a call last week by one of these radio things, too. But I'm mostly polite to people, and I was polite to this person, but I have you just have the perfect excuse. Believe me, if it had been ratings and I thought it would help something, I would have talked to the guy, but I just said, we're in the radio business, and then he said, okay, and goodbye.
Yeah, it's obvious that it wasn't, what he writes about in his column was not a valid ratings company
and
calling.
And it's not becoming to have him try to squirm out of it, right?
No, and if it had been ratings, I would have chatted, I would have said,
sure.
Yes, I'm trying to buy a new oven, and Don and Mike are great.
Right. I got you.
All right, boo-boo.
All right, thank you.
Goodbye.
Thank you, sweetie. Love you. Bye.
Bye.
See? That's why I keep her.
Absolutely.
That's why I haven't killed her yet.
Okay.
She is a good, loyal, strong, loving wife.
Yes, she is.
That's why I've not chopped her head off.
Oh, my God.
Well, I'm just getting excited about the OJ show that's on Sunday night.
Right. Yeah, you got lots of big actors in that.
Yeah, well, getting 4-star reviews.
Sure. Anything with Bruno Kirby, Don.
The OJ show. Listen, we've done a tremendous disservice today. We got all off track with this Bob Levy thing. And we've got the best part of Mike's lunch with Tom Gavin.
Well, this is great. I'd like to be broken up, and this is the grand finale we're going to get here.
Okay, because, Mike was a big guy, conceded the presidential bet.
Right.
Took Tom Gavin to lunch today, to Ruby Tuesday, and now we're going to go to, take us where we are, the end of the lunch?
We actually fast-forwarded through the very tedious part, was we're eating our food, and after I cut his meat, we listened to him chew, and I think we're getting close to where they come over and present Tom with his Sunday.
Even though it's not his birthday.
Yes, we lied about that.
Okay, here's Mike and Tom at lunch today.
All right.
There's a bag up there.
There's what?
There's a bag.
I don't think that belongs to you, Tom.
Yeah, this little thing belongs to me.
Yeah, I've got your bag. Do you want the bag? Want the bag for your alphabet? It's Alphabert.
Alphabert.
Fundamentals of reading, Tom.
Yeah.
You can play with that for hours.
Yeah.
I hope you enjoy that.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
Does it come out of the box?
What's that?
Does it come out of the box?
Yes, it comes out of the box, but you'll have to take it out yourself.
Okay.
We don't have time to do that right now. Well, Tom, I'm officially in overtime right now.
Uh-oh.
I don't want to leave until I get to pay the check. And
so now you're there past the 30-minute allotted time?
Yeah, I got there, when Tom arrived, it was about 5 of 12, and at this point, it's probably about 25 after.
Just to give you a key in, that's a marker 30 minute, 23 seconds.
So officially,
thank you, Rob. Very good.
So you're there 23 seconds past your obligated time.
All this is Tom Gavin gravy.
Yeah, and I stopped tape at one point, so
that's
we're
true,
probably
even
into
more,
our,
probably.
I hate to be detailed, but we're probably into our 30-second minute.
Yeah, could be. As
right.
Wow.
Yes. My God.
As Leo would say.
Wow. Get your birthday surprise.
Okay.
All right. Maybe we can get Anthony to get us the
ice cream.
You're ready to go.
Yeah.
Where'd you drop, Tom? Your knife?
Knife.
Don't pick that up, Tom. It's got germs.
Your knife's got germs. Don't pick it up.
Don't pick it up.
Don't pick it up.
Don't pick it up.
Do not pick it up.
He just says everything you say.
He parrots me. Don't pick it up. He's a terrific mimic. Tom, don't peek. It's not nice to peek.
Don't peek.
Yeah.
You're a special birthday boy.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed myself today.
Yeah, I did too.
What was your favorite part of our lunch?
The food.
The food? Did you like the food here at Ruby Tuesdays?
Yeah.
Would you come back, Tom?
Yeah.
Maybe you can come back sometime with Don.
Yeah, come back with Don.
Not a chance.
It would be wonderful.
Yeah.
I'd sure like Don to be here sometime.
Don.
Right.
Charlie. Robbie. Tom. Yeah. Understand we have a birthday here today for you.
Yes, we do.
All right. I'm going to get everybody in this whole restaurant saying happy birthday to you.
That's a great idea. Okay, very good. Yeah, it's Tom's birthday, all right?
Wait, you're 21 today? 41. 41.
Wow, 41.
All right, everybody. 41.
Oh, listen to this, Tom.
Everybody attention, please. Today is Tom's 41st birthday. He's celebrating here at Ruby Tuesday's Fairfax Court. We're on the count of three. We're gonna sing for him, okay? One, two, three.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Tom.
Check, please.
Check. All right. Tom, I'm going to get the check now. How's that ice cream?
Good.
That's terrific. Where's Anthony, our waiter? Is Anthony around here? Hi. Can we get our check, please? Like, quickly. Thank you. Thank you very much. Oh, there he is. I think it's Anthony right over there. Yes, yes. We desperately need a check. Anthony. Okay, Anthony. Fantastic. Hey, look at Tom eating that ice cream. Tom, you don't have to eat so fast. I'll pay the check. You can stay as long as you want.
Started to inhale it. Well, he started to really inhale. He was like going to get an ice cream headache because he thought he was leaving with me, mistakenly. And he started to shove the ice cream and just like eat it as fast as he could. And I told him, hey, relax. Chill.
Chill.
Chill out, Tom.
Chill down. Anthony. Okay, Anthony. Fantastic. Hey, look at Tom eating that ice cream. Tom, you don't have to eat so fast. I'll pay the check. You can stay as long as you want. There's the check. Fantastic. Here you go. All right. Tom, how have you enjoyed your lunch?
Is that your birthday friend that Tom?
He got the Alphabert reading helper. All right. I'm paying the check now, Tom.
I got yours too.
Right. There you go. I'm giving them a hefty tip here at Ruby Tuesdays. Yep. Tom, you can stay till your car comes.
My car.
I don't need to walk out with you, Tom.
Okay.
All right. You just wanted Tom. Yeah. Did you enjoy your birthday?
Yes, I did.
All right. I'm going to take your tapes.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed our time.
Thank you.
And I'm leaving.
Bye.
Happy birthday, Tom.
Thank you.
Did you enjoy yourself?
Yep.
What was the best part of the lunch?
Lunch.
Lunch. Very good, Tom.
I'm eating ice cream, guys.
Happy birthday, Tom.
Thank you, Mike.
Bye. You got a cold. I'm not going to shake your hand, but I'll give you a pat on the shoulder.
Okay.
Take care, buddy. Bye, Tom.
Bye, Mike.
All right. Bye, folks.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye. See you later.
Bye.
That's it. My lunch with Tom is over. I am through. The bet has been paid. Good night, and God bless America. There it is, and that's it.
You.
Thank you very much.
You're the man.
You're a good man.
Thank you. Thank you very much. You're a good man.
It's over.
And, I mean, we didn't even hear the most agonizing part, the middle part, where you were just cutting Tom's food. And
we actually at one point had the microphone very close to his mouth to get the sounds of the green teeth chewing.
I'm concerned.
You know, you were on the street in a diaper last week, but I'll tell you right now, I have now effectively entertained Murphy and Gavin personally.
You have.
And, you know, I'd like to put one in the win column when it comes to either one of those guys. I really would.
Well, good job.
Hey, guys.
You're a man of your word, and boy, you're going to be pissed if Gore wins the election next week.
That would be.
Yeah, I know.
Because we'll get all the phone calls. Hey, what'd you concede?
You will.
Why'd you concede so early?
I think we got an entire story written here, right?
Yes, we do. Yes. Absolutely.
We do. If you've listened to the whole show thus far, time now to be call 100 at 877-365-3636. I think we have a beautiful story.
It's a lovely story, and we tell it so well.
A real-life tale of Mike's Lunch with Tom Gavin today. Over the last three-plus hours, we've given you all the words of the story.
What's up, guys?
If you got them, be the 100th caller now. You want a trip to Tampa for WWF? Good luck.
This is the Dawn and Mike Show.
This is supposed to be my weekend off. I knew. You got me out here dragging your heavy ass through the burning desert with your dreadlocks sticking out the back of my parachute. You gotta come down here with an attitude, acting all big and bad. And what the hell is that smell?
Proudly, down to only two herpes pills a day. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Well, it used to be eight, and between the two of us, it was 16 a day.
It was so inconvenient.
It really was.
I just let my lesions come right to the surface.
I just have a brief comment for you about CBS, the radio company.
Okay.
That, I was out trying to take a leak. Mike's just coming out of the John taking a leak.
Uh-huh.
I'm going in to take a whiz. And the GM, Alan Linewand, is out there and he's rapping with Mike about something.
Right. Talking about cars.
The cars, right.
Right.
Well, I go in, I'm taking a piss, and all of a sudden he comes in. I'm standing there doing my business. He goes, hey, next week I was thinking that maybe we could get together and talk. You know, it's always a loaded question. It's like,
man, on a Friday before the weekend. Yeah.
What is it you want to talk about? I said, sure, what's the topic? And he said, the internet. And I said, oh, I'd love to talk about that. And he says, yeah, well, I'm thinking, he says, I saw those pictures of you in the diaper on WNEW.com.
Right.
He says, I think it'd be really great if we got a WJFK website going. And immediately, it was like all the lead goes out of my pencil.
Because you thought it was the big thing?
Yeah, I said, the only way that we're going to get involved with the web is when CBS allows us to have streaming audio.
So people can actually get on the web and listen to the show.
Right, and he said, well, what about archived audio? I said, well, that sucks, too.
Yeah.
Because in essence, what you're doing is taking a show and taping it and then making it available for people to download days later.
Right.
And listen to. And I said, the whole point of the internet is, hello, people in their offices, people in their computer rooms at home can punch on and listen. I mean, this is not a foreign concept that we're throwing out here. And he said, well, you know how, you know, Big Daddy feels about that.
Yeah, our company is not real friendly about that.
For being the most progressive, forward-thinking, broadcasting-friendly company in the world, and I believe CBS is. I will fall on the CBS sword every day of the week.
You're wearing a CBS Sports sweatshirt right now.
I am. We got our heads up our asses when it comes to the internet. And
why is it taking so long?
I don't know. Because they want to figure out a way
to make money.
Right.
Well, you make money on it by selling advertising on the website.
Right.
You can do that. We have no problem with that.
Well, listen. I told Alan, and I know I speak for you. I was speaking for you. I said we're not going to be involved in it. You know, I mean, if you want a website, a WJFK website, where you're going to post wacky pictures of things that, I mean, I think he was thinking of you and Tom out at lunch today, and
right,
how you could post a picture there. I said, don't you realize how you get people looking at a website one time, they click on a picture, they go, that's interesting. There's Don in a diaper. There's Mike at lunch with Tom Gavin. And then you lost them. You lost them forever.
Get the show on the website. That's all we want.
And I don't want any fancy graphics, and I don't want any pictures. All I want is a button that says, click here
to listen to the Don and Mike Show.
To hear the show on the internet.
Right.
That's all. And until this company decides that that's what they're going to do, I don't think we should be involved in any half-ass websites that the station's going to put out.
I really am waiting. We've been waiting a long time. They said, I think Ken said a long time ago they were going to do that, and it hasn't happened. And I really wish they would get moving on that, because it's not a difficult thing to do once they make the decision.
I mean, we're the only radio company in the world that is not allowing its shows to be broadcast over the internet. And it's not only our show. It's obviously it's all the shows that's owned by CBS.
Right.
So, no, I'm not going to go along with this hokey go to WJFK.com and, you know, click on a wacky picture of Don and Mike.
We can have the wacky pictures after they get the, you know, the show on.
Yeah, right.
That's the first priority.
Put the audio on. Just put live audio on the web. I mean, we're so far behind everybody else in the world on this. I am amazed.
Mm-hmm.
I'm amazed. And I read in the trade publications that every month now, they're actually printing like the top 50 radio websites and how many hits they're getting a month.
Right.
Right? And I read like stupid WPLJ in New York, which plays the same 25 records every single hour. They get like 1.5 million hits a month.
Yeah, and that would be great.
On their website. And they're not going there to look at pictures of stupid Scott Shannon. They're clicking on there to hear the same dumb 25 records a month when they're at work.
Absolutely.
I don't know why you just don't put our show on the web. Just put it on there. Then we'll endorse the website. But until then, absolutely not.
Until then, you'll have to go to the unofficial websites.
Yeah, and they all suck. You know, we got nothing to do with those.
Right.
I got people all the time saying to me, hey, I went to your website last night. They said, listen, no, we don't have a website.
No.
There are some that are nice, the people have put it together for the show. There are some that are not so nice, but we're not affiliated with them.
Right.
We're really not. I mean, we support Dennis's website and Homo Joe's website.
Right. Sure, and 2Exposed.com.
Yes, because all three of those websites, they're people who are, you know, involved with the show. We're friends with them.
Uh-huh. We'd love to do it, but until that happens, we're not going to do it.
Right. Just, you know, do the thing. Click here.
It's a radio show. It's, you know, the first and foremost thing we want people to do is listen to this show. And if there's something that assists people in doing that, we're all for it.
Put it on the internet. I don't know why. You know, God knows you're making $10 million a year off this show here. Why don't you just siphon off a little bit of that and put it into the internet? Do you know that
you make money on the internet? If you do it right, you make money. There is no need to do that. If you do it the right way, you make a ton of money on the. You're just for the same reason you just were talking about WPLJ. You have us on there, and you do what they all do. I mean, what all of these websites do to make money. It's just a question of getting somebody that knows what they're doing.
But you know what? It is. It's not only like I mentioned the shows that CBS Radio owns. I was on NFL.com over the weekend, and the big thing on NFL.com is they say they have streaming audio from every NFL game that's being played, where you can click on any game and you hear the radio broadcast. So I clicked on the Washington Redskins.
Right.
And I get a little sign that says Infinity Broadcasting CBS has blocked this.
Right.
I click on the Tampa Bay game. Infinity Broadcasting CBS has blocked this. I click on the Philadelphia Eagles game. Infinity Broadcasting CBS has blocked this. I click on Dallas Cowboys, New England Patriots, all the stations, all the clubs whose radio rights are owned by CBS. We're not letting them put the games on the web.
Doesn't make sense.
I mean, this company's got its head so far up its ass when it comes to the internet, it's ridiculous.
It really is.
Yeah,
and meanwhile, you know, they're worried that they're not going to make enough money, but they're not doing anything to change that. I mean, it's one thing. The way we understood it the first time around was that they were going to wait till they got it organized, and then they were going to be able to get these websites set up so that they'd have the audio of all of our shows on, and they'd be able to make money off the internet, which you just get the website. You put your advertisers on there.
Right.
Do it, but get somebody to do it. It takes, it'll be a matter of days if they get the right people.
This is the only company, and I mean, in all other regards, and I know we rag on them all the time, but there's no better group of broadcasters than Infinity Broadcasting.
Right.
When the S hits the fan, they're there with you. They pay us a goddamn king's ransom, tons more than we're worth to do this show. They generally stay out of our way. They're very supportive. They're wonderful. They got two main rules. They don't advertise, and they're not on the internet.
Right. We can handle the don't advertise. We're still number one. We can handle that. But we'd love to get this show on the internet because we think it would be good for the program.
Sure. So, Alan, no, I'm sorry. We don't want to be involved in a WJFK website where you could, you know, you play a game, for instance, where you would hit a button and Don and Mike and Buzz's heads would each pop out of boxes. And if you clicked on the right head at the right time, you would win a T-shirt.
I know there's an analogy out there. I know there's an analogy that would match this up, but it's kind of like you're not getting the radio show. Why have anything else on there? Because you're depriving people of the most important thing, the reason we're all here, which is to do this show and have people listen to this show. And if you've got technology to get it up on the internet, which of course is all over the world now, let's just do it.
And it doesn't take away from, the argument I've heard is that it takes away from the value of the advertisers' money. They're paying big money to buy commercials on the radio station. Listen, there's no doubt, even with the internet, I'd say, if we were on the internet, 98% of our listenership would still be people who are trapped in their cars every
right.
day.
Mm-hmm.
That's the greatest audience we have, the
You're
captive
so right
audience.
About that. And you know something? It's not going to matter. It's not going to matter. You're not going to be ripping off your advertisers, people that buy, by putting us on the internet. What you're doing is you're expanding this show, and the number one thing that people are going to do is listen to this show in their cars, on the radio. That's the way it's going to happen. It's always going to be like that.
Right. But
that's why radio will never die, because
yeah.
radio is always, you know, you're never going to be able to improve on getting in your car and listening. That's what, because you got to use those eyes, unless someday you've got automatic cars, which is probably, you know, which will drive themselves.
So you've got 98% of your audience that even if we were on the web would still listen to us in the car.
Exactly. Right? So it's irrelevant.
So why not give the 2% who are stuck in office buildings where they can't get reception or are at home working on their computers, why not give them the option that every other goddamn company is giving people who listen to their radio station?
Yeah, give the people that are on the road, you know, that might be listening in one of our markets, a chance to go on the road somewhere where we're not on and have a laptop computer and plug right into it.
And wouldn't web listeners hear the ads, too, giving the advertisers more value?
Well, no, see, here's the buzz. This is where it gets, dicey.
Okay.
Yeah, they've tried to explain this to me. They said,
But their argument doesn't make sense. The logic is right about that.
But here's the answer to that.
All right.
Well, you've got a guy in Washington who's paying $3,000 for his commercial.
Mm-hmm.
You've got a guy in Sacramento who's paying $2,000 for his commercial.
Oh, I get it. It's like the satellite thing.
Yes.
But once again, that gets back to your 98% of people
right.
are listening
yeah.
to this show. You know, you have the home feed or whatever feed you want to do.
You know, you don't run any commercials on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Or you get one of the 50,000 goddamn salespeople we have working here, and you have them sell exclusively
Brilliant.
To the internet site. So you run one set of commercials on your radio stations, you run another set of commercials on your internet site.
Cool. Just another way to make money. And they have said that's what they're waiting to do, but nothing seems to be happening.
Nothing. They're not doing anything, and we're just left behind.
We are really left behind.
And then they're, you know, they're coming at me with this crap like, well, it's going to be great, www.wjfk.com. You can put wacky pictures of you and Mike up there, and it's like, that's the whole reason we don't have a website. I don't want to be embarrassed like Jack Diamond and have a stupid website like that where he has pictures of him and his fourth wife out camping with his children from his third marriage. The only reason people go to a radio station website is to hear the radio station.
So hopefully they will get off their butts and take care of this, and we'll be eventually on the internet so you can hear the show wherever you go. And, you know, instantaneously, affiliate or no affiliate, it's a great way for the show to go completely nationwide and worldwide. It's great.
And now, Alan, maybe we don't have to have that meeting on Tuesday.
Why do I think that's probably the purpose of this entire discussion?
Bingo. Now let's try to give away a trip to Tampa Bay, Florida. To someone who's listened to the show for the last 3.5 hours on their radio.
All right.
Not on the internet. If you got all the words to the story, you're going to, and it's a great prize, WWF Survivor Series in Tampa Bay, Florida. Here is Call 100. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
I am Caller 100.
Right, and what is your name?
My name is Jim. I'm in Springfield.
All right, Jim. Go very slowly, one word at a time.
Yes, sir.
So I can play this sound effect in between each of the words. If you've got all the words in order, you're going to Tampa. Let's go. Let's start. The first word is mics.
I don't have them. Oh, my God.
You don't have them?
I don't have them.
Hey! What kind of an idiot are you? Why'd you call?
I was calling for another reason, and then you picked up. I was calling 100.
I was calling for the about talking about your website or lack thereof.
We're doing a contest, you idiot.
God.
All right, go away,
please. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, hi. I wanted to talk to Don and Mike.
Are you calling for the contest?
No, actually, I have a web company, and I just wanted to...
Oh, come on. Didn't we have
everybody, like, waiting in line for...
Yes. Yes, hello, Don and Mike show, but maybe people thought that we forgot
about
this.
Hi, this is Patrick Clancy Worldwide. Can you pass me to Alan Linewop, please? We own a internet company ready to propose...
You know, wow. You know what happened? All the contest people dropped off when we started talking about the fact that... The website sucks.
So what we're looking for right now, we're supposed to get the 100th caller with the story, the lunch story about Tom Gavin.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hi, I just wanted to call in and say that I work for a marketing firm, and we do those phone calls about the radio studies.
Honey, eat me, please. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, how you doing? Is it me? Am I in the...
Are you ready to play the game?
Oh, man, I'm ready to play like a champ. I've been listening for the last 3 hours. I got it, man.
Finally, thank you. Okay, the first word of the story is Mike. And
spelled
please...
something.
No, take it from the beginning.
Oh, okay. Mike's
and
lunch.
Hold on. Please go slowly enough so that I can play this in between each word.
Okay, Mike's lunch with Tom Gavin went well until...
Yes.
Mike...
Hold on. You gotta go slower in between every word so I can play the sound effect.
Alright, I'm sorry.
Okay. Until
Mike smelled something.
No. Oh, what
does the word slow mean to you?
I'm sorry, I'm very excited.
I'm gonna demonstrate. Here is what I want you to do.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Are we ready?
For the third time, we're going to attempt to do this.
Okay.
Music just ran out.
Should I start again?
Yes.
Okay. Mike's lunch with Tom Gavin went well until...
No!
All right, what do you want?
Okay, start over. Okay. After every word, pause...
Well, he doesn't have to do every word until he gets
okay.
to the end.
All right.
So,
Mike's lunch with Tom Gavin went well until...
Mike spelled...
No!
Forget it.
Wait, hold on a sec. I got it, man.
No, you're not doing it. You're not even paying attention.
Yes, I am. Come on.
That'd be the fourth time we told you to go slow, and then Don showed you how to do it.
I'm sorry. It's kind of hard for me to hear with this bell.
No, it's not hard to hear.
I'm sorry, guys. Come on.
Do you hear this?
Yes, sir.
Do you hear that?
Yes.
All right, if you F this up again, that's what you're hearing.
Okay, which one do you want me to start with?
Can I ask a quick question?
Yeah.
How many presidential candidates did he vote for?
Mike's lunch with Tom Gavin went well until...
Mike smelled something unusually...
Hello?
Yeah, is that correct? Fecally?
Fecally, yes.
And rancid.
You can go.
Emitting from his filthy, oil-ridden rectum and reaching around his scrotum. He found a corpse.
Okay.
Right, you're the winner.
All right.
Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Hey, thank you. Guys, I really appreciate it, man. I can't believe I'm digging your show all afternoon. And
that's very nice. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Quite frank, I've been digging your show for years, man. You guys are great. You make my afternoons worthwhile, man.
Thank you. You have won a trip for two. Frankly, I'm exhausted after that contest. You have won a trip for two to Tampa Bay.
All right!
To see the WWF Survivor Series, courtesy of Comcast Cable and Cox Cable. Your trip includes round-trip air, two nights hotel, and tickets to WWF Survivor Series.
Woo!
WWF Survivor Series in demand Sunday, November 19th. Everybody else, call Comcast or Cox Cable System now to order this pay-per-view event.
Oh, God, I'm Pastor, I love you guys.
Yeah, bad car phone.
Okay, listen, enjoy. Thank you. We appreciate the fact you listen to the whole show.
We do indeed.
Oh, it was a great afternoon, guys. Thank you very much, man.
Just a little slow on the uptake there.
I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Hey, thank you, guys.
Thank you. Hold on, please.
Very nice. Very clever. On, very clever, boys.
Okay, all right. He had it.
He was excited.
He was a good winner.
Well, I don't know why we had the 8 million other people calling about the web. And
every time you bring it up, they call.
Jesus Christ. Hello, Don and Mike.
How could you give it to that jag-off?
Well, I can't blame this guy.
I can't blame this guy. I'm just sitting there. I had the whole thing. And I'm like, what are you guys doing? This guy is a jack-off.
Well, we kind of have to do it, sir.
And I was going to read it like that retarded girl, the one that spelling me a couple years ago. That would have been so much fun.
Let me hear what you would have done.
He's gone.
Right. Hello, Don and Mike.
Don't you have another prize? I've been waiting the whole show for this. And he just comes and just jacks it all up.
No. You know who jacked it up? All of the morons that were calling about, listen, I work for a web company. Can I have Alan's number?
Yeah. Exactly. Them too.
Don't blame them. Don't blame him. Blame them.
We're not mad at them. We're mad at the dirt.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yes, hello. It's like Mike's lunch with Tom Galvin went well until dot, dot, dot. He forgot the dot, dot, dot. Mike. Smelled something unusually fecally rancid. Buzz put a period after rancid.
Yes. All right, and Buzz shouldn't have put the period after rancid because it was just a run-on sentence.
Right.
And I don't care if the story is correct grammatically or not.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. They never matter.
It's
like
a story.
That. Right.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello?
Hello?
Oh, am I on the air now?
It
doesn't need to be this difficult.
Did you get the ticket?
What?
The ticket?
Yeah, the ticket. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike, my brother.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, buddy.
There's my friend. Here's the new webmaster for the all-new DonandMike.com.
Where's your toy, Tom?
I just talked to John, and the website, when it goes to the website, it's TomGavin.com.
Oh, you have a website now?
Not yet. Me and John are going to be working on it.
Okay.
Where's your toy?
I got it up by the computer.
All right. Say Tom's the guy who would listen to the show on the computer.
Sure.
All right, Tom.
How you guys doing? I know what it was.
Well, what was?
The quiz.
Yeah, did you have a good time at lunch with Mike today?
Yes, I did.
Excellent.
I did too, Tom. I enjoyed your company. I hope we can do it again sometime. What?
Have lunch with Mike at Tuesdays in Fairfax.
Right.
Good.
Okay.
Very good.
All right, gotta go, Tom.
Are we gonna do the tape again with the birthday?
Gotta go, Tom. How do you spell headache?
H-A-T-A.
Right.
Perfect.
I got one. I gotta go.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Tommy.
Don has a splitting hot dog.
I gotta go.
Bye.
All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye. It's time now for the news and the comments with Buzz. You know, we had a Jeopardy plan today, but frankly, the show, I don't know. It's between Bob Levy.
Right.
And the contest.
Right.
And the lunch.
Right.
I mean, it's just, and then Jimmy Kimmel called.
That's
and then, then Brett Conway called to say that he might be playing for the Raiders this weekend.
Very full play.
It's just been a kooky show. Now let's go to Buzz.
In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden, one man found a way to bring good news to his people.
It's Buzzy.
It's me.
He made it up.
And what's your lead made-up story tonight, Buzz?
Tonight, George W. goes to work on a job he doesn't have yet.
Okay.
Stay tuned. For news and comments.
News and comments.
Coming up on the Don and Mike Show.
You know, the good news is, at this point, I'm so exhausted, I don't have it in me to argue the politics.
Me neither.
Sail right through it.
That was very... professional.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
Wearing their game day attire, Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Ready now for Guy Birdley Buzz's News.
Sponsored tonight by Best Buy. Oh, we love Best Buy.
Yeah.
Great store. How come they can't get us a PlayStation 2?
We read the commercial for them every day.
I think they're dealing with their stock right now.
At Best Buy, you'll find the latest technology to help you have more fun with your time. Turn on the fun at Best Buy. Now here is Buzz. Howdy, Buzz.
Hi, Donna, Mike. George W. Bush says it's in the country's best interest for him to plan for an orderly transition. So he met today with some of the people who would serve in his administration, his cabinet. He also says the more quickly the election is settled, the better off it is for the nation. But the Gore camp isn't talking about giving up. Gore's campaign manager says Democratic lawyers are pretty sure the ballot in Palm Beach County was illegal. And the Associated Press has surveyed all 67 of Florida's county election officials and finds that Bush still has the lead by a 327-vote margin.
Did you just kind of fart?
Yes, I did. Is it bad?
Yeah.
All right. Here you go.
God. Damn, that is bad.
I told you, you know.
That is really bad. I mean, that is the real smell of feces.
I know.
You smelling that, Rob?
That's Phil Spector's wall of stink right there.
Thank you very much.
That's bad, man.
Okay.
Lunch with Gavin.
All right, I know.
Like
we've never done that before.
The Associated Press has surveyed.
It was particularly rancid.
Thank you. I appreciate your compliment.
And many ballots from Floridians overseas still haven't been counted. Those generally skew Republican. Now, even a leading Democrat's now saying it's time to stop fighting over the Florida vote. Senator Robert Torricelli says the Palm Beach situation is unfortunate, but not a reason to challenge the recount. Senator-elect Hillary Clinton says she's ready to co-sponsor legislation to do away with the Electoral College by amending the Constitution. She says in a democracy, we should respect the will of the people. And Wall Street still doesn't like the instability of all this. The Dow closed down 231 points today. NASDAQ was down by 171.
I bet Viacom did great.
Solid as a rock.
They always do. You know, after all the arguing yesterday, Mike and I had a talk before the show today.
We did indeed.
And I believe that we are in agreement on a number of issues.
I'm sure.
We are in agreement that the people who effed up the ballots...
I said to you this, and I'll say it again. I understand, I don't doubt that those people have a legitimate grievance. I don't doubt that 19,000 votes may not have been counted that should have been counted. The problem is, if you get a judge who says, yes, they were illegal ballots, what do you do to make it right? You just can't. Because if you do that, you open up a whole can of worms, and it is unfair, it is sad, but unfortunately, I don't think you can do that. Now, with that said, the thing I was saying to you today is that by Bush interviewing people, November 17th, you got a 300-vote lead. November 17th is the deadline for the absentee ballots to come. I am not necessarily going to be spoon-fed that fact that they skew Republican. Well, they skew...
And I agree, which I said upstairs. Right. We are both in agreement that there should be none of this legal crap going on. They should wait until the ballots come in next Friday.
Wait till the ballots come in. If they want to get one of the precincts and do a hand count and see if the votes that actually have been counted are legitimate, that's fine. But, you know, when you're talking about these 19,000, these poor people that are all upset about it,
F them.
You know, you can't, even if you say it's illegal, how do you make that right without appearing to... You know, have the election decided by a judge.
You can't.
It's horribly unfair.
I
feel bad for that, but you know something?
So just count the votes, get the absentee ballots.
Get the absentee ballots. And I mean, it's a 300-vote lead. Who knows what's going to happen
with the absentee ballots?
Whichever guy is losing next Friday, that guy...
That's it.
He's a stand-up guy, and he says, I lost... Good night.
I think, frankly, when the absentee ballots come in and they certify these votes, I think either one of the guys will do that.
Yes.
You know what? So, because that's the will. I believe everything I'm hearing from people, that's the will of people.
So,
and, you know, it's unfortunate that this ballot went this way.
That my wife, who is really like a fanatic Democrat, like won't let me get a word in edgewise about this thing, she said to me today that if the Democrats keep going with this talk about... We're going to go to court and we're going to challenge it. She says, if there's a re-election, she'd vote for Bush. That's how pissed she is at the Democrats for the way that this is playing out.
I heard something or I read something about this election that if it went to the federal level, the federal courts with this, they would have to prove that these ballots in Palm Beach County were were designed in such a way to purposely, deceive people,
and they weren't. The people, like I said all day yesterday, they're just dumbasses.
Is the ballot the one thing we will always disagree on? Were the ballots? If you were walking in there and you hadn't seen them before, and you didn't see the newspaper, and you didn't get a sample ballot, would they be confusing?
No,
I think we were looking at them ready to make the thing. Could there be a better ballot? Absolutely. Do you have to honor the way the election went?
Yes. The Democrats approved that ballot, though. Before the election.
Oh, absolutely.
And it's the same ballot they used last year. And in last year's election...
I don't think you'll see that ballot again.
In last year's election, 15,000 of the same dumbasses from the same county had their votes removed. And in this year's election, 90% of the people in West Palm Beach were able to correctly fill out the ballot.
Yeah, and you were talking about the dumbasses that were in the voting booth in Palm Beach. I'm talking about the dumbasses on both parties that approved that ballot, because I do think that ballot sucks, and I think that's unfortunate that, when we look back on this election, it's unfair, but I don't think there's any way you make that right. And I think having a re-election, doing a re-vote, you can't. I mean, I know, the people that are on the Democratic side, and I'm a Democrat.
It makes you look light to say that you want a recount. Just a re-election.
And would you agree, though, with that said, it makes Bush look light if he's out there interviewing his cabinet already.
Wait until it's
certified.
I agree. Both guys should shut the frig up.
Right.
They should wait until next Friday, until all the votes are counted. One guy wins, one guy loses. The guy who wins handles it with class. The guy who loses handles it with class. That's it.
I think for the good of the country, it has to be done that way. I really do.
People are already sick of it.
Yeah, and I think this feeling that we have right here is going to grow, and you're going to see by next Friday, I mean, this country will be ready, regardless of your politics, to say, hey, let's put this guy in the White House, and that's just the way it should be.
I don't give an F which one of them wins. Just pick the guy who wins, and let's move on with this. Right? I mean, look at the stocks are going down the crapper.
Well, that's not
because
good.
Because we look like crap because our election is so effed up.
And I was thinking about absentee ballots, too. And is it unreasonable when you're talking about absentee ballots that they go out earlier and the deadline for the absentee ballots to come in should be Election Day?
Yes.
And incidentally, I understand why, servicemen overseas have absentee ballots. But I saw an awful lot of people interviewed on TV where they said, who'd you vote for? I already did it in advance. Absentee ballot. They're being interviewed on Election Day saying they'd already voted with the absentee ballot.
Right.
Why'd you need the absentee ballot if you're there on Election Day?
They're interviewing these people in America on Election Day.
In America, probably not in the state that they're voting for, though. Like college students that might be out of state.
Well, F them.
But don't you think it would be a good idea?
F them.
With all absentee ballots, wouldn't it make sense that the deadline to receive them would be Election Day?
Yeah, I agree.
Instead of the 17th?
And just one of these two pricks, win next Friday, win with grace. The other guy, go away. You'll get your chance in 4 years. Okay?
Well, I think either one of them, that's the case.
Right now, all you're doing is just mucking everything up.
You really are. Get those ballots counted.
Yeah, and just everybody, just shut up, everybody.
Everybody about everything.
I'm tired about it on TV.
Yeah,
sick and tired. I am.
Like Al McRae. Oh, that's the baseball manager.
What are you raving out?
Buzz, hold on, please.
All right.
At this route, the show's not going to end until next Friday. I mean, Jesus Christ, we're running late.
We're backed up.
Excuse me. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I don't know whether to laugh or vomit.
Everywhere I go.
Had a million things going at once there.
Jizzy. The Don and Mike Show.
And now here's Buzzy.
Hi, Don and Mike. In an election in which every vote really did count, a New York man's been arrested for selling his vote. 28-year-old Christian Hazard, who produces a cable access comedy show, was arrested after selling his vote to an undercover cop on Election Day. The officer says Hazard even offered to take a video camera into the booth to prove that to the vote buyer that he was getting what he was paying for.
Hazard apparently posted flyers on trees along Park Avenue that read, "Buy my vote, $1,000 or best offer." The undercover cop says he was able to negotiate a price of $600, and he said it was not a bit for the comedy show.
Oh, please.
Hazard will be in court on January 18th, and he faces up to 4 years in prison. 4 years. Ironically, he spent Election Day in jail and therefore never could exercise his constitutional right to vote.
Hey.
Jim Nantz is not the only guy who's wound up about the way television handled the election coverage Tuesday night.
Listen, Jim Nantz is wound up about tying his shoes today.
Well, that's true. Lawmakers in Washington say they'd like to know what effect the network's early calls had on voter turnout.
What?
The hearings could start next week, and TV executives are being asked to testify, but they said they shouldn't have to,
or so.
There's money to be made off the newspapers that printed premature and incorrect election results this week.
What?
A copy of the Austin American-Statesman from Bush's hometown is going for $1,000 on eBay. The headline on that one screams, "Bush, Florida steals it."
Nice, Bush.
A copy of the New York Post that declares Bush wins was up to $202 in the bidding, but experts say these papers are barely worth the newsprint on which they're printed. They say the goofed-up papers are more likely to be worth something in, say, 25 to 50 years.
Yeah, and if he eventually wins the election, that'll also be valuable.
You're right. You're right.
You know what I've always wanted? I've never been able to get, like, for instance, last year at the Super Bowl, when the Rams won on the last play of the game,
right?
I wanted one of the hats that they had already made that said, "Tennessee Titans,
right.
Yep, world champions," because you know they got to make them up for both teams.
I wonder if there's a protocol for that they, like, destroy them or
something. I found out after the game, I asked, and they said that they only make about 1,000
right
directly after the game to give to the players and sell in the stadium.
Nah.
And then if whichever team wins, they got all the people in the Kathy Lee sweatshop going overtime making them. They take them out and they burn them.
I figured that. Yeah,
they
yeah.
burn them.
All right.
That's what I'd like. Buzz, we got to do this.
All right.
Because we spent so much time on other stuff today. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.